This is The Hollywood Outsider, weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. This is episode 280, and this is our special 2017 Comic-Con wrap-up episode. We're each fielding a panel of our own of what excited us the most at this year's San Diego Comic-Con. That's not it, though. We're also going to have spoiler-free reviews of Atomic Blonde, Valerian, Girls Trip, and Sukiyaki, Western Django. Be sure to get the whole... Be sure to get the whole on the go with our Apple or Android apps. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, where reviews are appreciated, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your podcast app of choice. And please share the show on your social media outlets. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider, where some tiers will get you a bonus episode of the show every month. Plus, we are starting our bad movie night on the 30th, so look for that. My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today are my fellow hosts, Scotty Clark.
My name is Scott Clark, and I approve this message.
John Davenport.
You know what I can't wait for? I can't wait for fall.
And joining us from the beyond, from the past, the memories of the whole past, is Mr. Brian Williams.
What is up, fellas?
Not much, man. We're happy to have you back. It's been a while. It's been a while since you've been here.
It's been a while.
Yeah. It's been a while since somebody's done that been a while thing.
Yeah, it has. It's also strange hearing you without a delay, Brian.
Yeah, it's good. I've recently upgraded my internet connection.
I love how you waited until after you were done recording a podcast for years to get your internet upgraded. Yep.
Well, yeah, downgraded other areas of my life, but
that's something, you know, that's something weird. Well, let's hold those thoughts. Okay. We got to correct two big issues. Apparently it was the end of the world, so I have to correct them. Were two corrections on the recent Dunkirk Reactions podcast that is now out. Scott and I both referred to The Boys with Mark Rylance's character as his sons, when in fact one was his son and the other was his friend. I heard you.
I probably would have caught that if I hadn't fallen asleep during part of that movie.
if you hadn't been Dunkirked.
Yes.
Okay. And also on last week's zombie episode, holy crap, John referred to a moment where a character was holding a skull in a Shakespeare play as being from Macbeth when it was actually from Hamlet. And Scott and I both agreed with him. I just want to thank the 50 people who wrote in to call us dumbasses. I appreciate that.
I appreciate that you wrote in and called Aaron a dumbass. I'm a little offended. Just kidding.
I'm pretty sure they called us both by name. And yeah. Hey, Brian, did you know Hamlet is the one where he was holding the skull?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the infamous to be or not to be speech.
So really, it is just us that are dumbasses, Scott.
Yeah, pretty much.
In fairness, Hamlet is one of my favorite Shakespeare stories. So there you go.
How's that fair?
Just trying to, you know, be full disclosure-y and all that stuff.
In our defense, I don't like Shakespeare, so... Yeah, that happened. Write me a letter. I don't like Shakespeare.
I was going to say, expect 50 more emails now.
My defense, I live too much in the moment to actually pay attention to what happened yesterday.
I only brought it up because there were literally 50 emails about it. I mean, apparently it's a big deal. So, sorry, America. We let you down. Or Britain,
well,
whoever.
You know, you just ain't learned. That's all.
Why can't we get 50 emails about what we do right?
Yeah, they never. It's the internet. It doesn't happen.
It's not nearly right. Nearly as self gratifying.
Brian, we do have a lot of a new. Shut up. We have a lot of newer listeners. So for those of them that are new to the show, I want to explain. Brian is a founding member of the Ho. He was here for 5 years. He left last July to pursue other interests. I'm curious, as we hit our 6 year anniversary of the podcast, which we'll talk more about later. I thought, what better time to bring Brian back and ask him. You haven't been on a regular Ho episode in eons. Do you even still watch movies, I guess?
Yeah, I sure do. Yeah, I go to the movies occasionally, not as much as I used to, but I do anything that I really wanted to see that I maybe didn't get a chance to for whatever reasons. I usually pick up on Blu-ray or download it, watch it on video on demand or Netflix, HBO, whatever. So, yeah, I still watch a lot of TV, still watch a lot of movies. Always been a passion, always will be a passion.
And you just bought a new pink car. That's nice, huh? Or Jeep.
If you get enough, like a decent phone, you could see that it is a red Jeep. So, yes.
I'm going to have to see this.
Okay, I will text you. Hang on.
All right.
Welcome to Jeep Talk.
All right,
let's branch it out. This is Jeep Outsider.
Let's get into a couple things. First off, last week for Podcast Awards, you have until July 31st. Please help the show by nominating Hollywood Outsider. I'm sure Brian is meaning to do it really soon. But be sure to go to podcastawards.com and vote for the Hollywood Outsider and People's Choice and TV and Film. You can also go to the website if you're not sure how to do that. There's information on the website. So podcastawards.com, vote for the Hollywood Outsider for People's Choice and TV and Film. And please verify your vote. They will ask you to verify. It's totally normal. Now, are you guys ready to wrap up Comic-Con 2017?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I wonder what would happen if you guys all said no. Like, do we just move on?
You know, one would think you would just probably stop the podcast right there and bring in the B team, but we all answered yes, so I guess we're going to move forward.
Wait, who would be the B team?
It'd be Amanda, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Zach?
Scott Calgaro?
Yeah, no, not Zach. He's like D plus team.
I can't wait till he writes you a letter. That's still Brian at thehollywoodoutsider.com.
Just kidding. I love some Zach. He's definitely a C. But yes. Yeah. Amanda, Scott Calgaro, and who else? I'll let one of the other guys.
Pretty well.
Who?
Courtney.
Who's that?
His wife. So we kick him off and take his wife instead?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like totally.
That's an awkward way to do things. All right. Let's get into this.
It's actually not a bad plan.
I mean, she's delightful. Each year, I don't want to hear about fly dancing that much or whatever the hell that is. I just can't. I can't do it. Exactly. There you go. Each year, we devote our weekly topic to wrapping up the San Diego Comic-Con. It's a convention that used to revolve around comics. I don't even know if they sell them anymore. And now focuses more on pop culture entertainment. It is one of the biggest conventions of its kind in America and the world, I believe. And for this episode, we will each pick some of our favorite news or trailers that were released and discuss them as a group. So we each basically are handling the news individually. Now, first up is Scott's panel. So let's just get into it. Scott, let's start talking about what you liked.
Well, before I get into the three things that I wanted to talk about, I wanted to ask if you guys had heard about the TSA issue with the flights on the way back from San Diego. Have you heard about that yet?
No.
Where United Airlines had made a rule that people could not pack comic books into their checked luggage on the way back from San Diego.
Is that a real thing?
Of course it's United.
What's that?
Of course it's United.
And people were like, what are you talking about? You know, we're coming back from Comic-Con. We're there to buy comics. And what threat risk is there of these comic books being in our cases and everything? They just decided to make this rule. And then apparently the TSA got involved on Twitter and said, nope, we're cool with it. This is them doing it on their own. We have no issues. And so they had to retract it like at the last minute and say, apparently there was like, it was causing some kind of hold up in security checks and stuff like that. And they were, I don't know,
what?
But I just thought that was funny that, yeah, people from Comic-Con, you can't check your comics. You have to put them in your carry-on.
Which, you gotta be making this up. Are you, is this
I'm not
real?
Making it up. I read it online today.
Well, if you read it online, it's gotta be true.
Mm-hmm. Well, I read it on a reputable site. Oh. Put it that way. And I saw the actual tweets from the TSA and everything. So I just thought that was interesting. But anyway, more interesting topics. The biggest announcement for me was the trailer for Ready Player One, which is a book that I read a couple years ago and just I ate it up so much. And just in case you know nothing about this property, I'll tell you about it. It's based on the book by Ernest Cline. It's a story that takes place in a world in the not so distant future where the world's gone to hell. And people escape from that hell by going into a virtual reality world called the Oasis. Now, the creator of the Oasis at the very beginning of the book dies, and he promises to leave control of the Oasis as well as his fortune to whomever can find three hidden Easter eggs somewhere within the massive world of the Oasis. So the main character is Wade Watts, and he must use his, in the book at least, he must use his knowledge of 80s pop culture to uncover those secrets before other teams with more ill intent do. Now, watching this trailer, I was actually with you, Aaron, when you discovered it, and we watched it together, and I got done watching this trailer, and I got to be honest, I'm a little nervous, because this trailer showed way more action than I think I read in that entire book. And I know this is a film, and this isn't a book, and things are going to be different, but the book to me was less about actual fighting and actual car chases and fighting monsters and whatnot, as it was about him discovering things on his own and solving puzzles and memorizing movies, movie lines to uncover different things. With that said, Ernest Cline is still one of the screenwriters, so I have faith. He's not going to let them just make this something that he doesn't like, so I still feel like it's going to be a good thing. And if you watch this trailer, there are so many pop culture references in this trailer, even more than there were in the book. I mean, we've got the DeLorean, which you know that was going to have to make an appearance. Ernie Cline actually owns one himself. You see the Iron Giant, Duke Nukem, Freddy Krueger. There's even references to Willy Wonka and I believe Bigfoot. And then, of course, 80s music like Rush, which is played in the trailer. So it looks like all kinds of action. Looks like a lot of fun. May not be exactly what the book is, but I'm still hopeful. So, and if I remember correctly, no one else here has read the book.
I have. Correct.
You have read the book. Okay. So yeah. I'm going to speak to John specifically first. Are you nervous like I am, or is this just like it's going to be a bunch of fun anyway?
It's going to be a bunch of fun anyways, because I don't think I saw too much fighting. It seemed like they represented the big fight at the end of the end. I almost called it a movie, but they represented the big fight at the end of the book, especially when he's riding the scorpion. Mm-hmm. It seems like they covered a lot of their bases. I'm surprised they seem to have gotten as much rights as they did to put into this, because if you haven't read the book, you have to understand the amount of 80s reference and things they pull out is massive. It is absolutely massive because it's a book and you don't have to worry about rights and all that other stuff. So I was surprised just to be able to pick up what I could just from this very fast trailer. And I think that whole scene that they showed the scene where Wade goes to meet with Artemis, and it's that big purple sphere where everyone's dancing in the sky. Mm-hmm. And that looked perfect.
It did.
And you know, as far as how much I love this book, it's to explain it to everybody. I'm a bad reader. I'm terrible at it. You've probably seen me do it here or heard me do it here a couple times. This is like one of the only books I've been able to read in 1 week. And that's a record for me. I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to see what happens. I want to see more hints to some of the other stuff that they had in the book, but I'm excited for it. I'm not as worried about it.
What about you guys, Aaron and Brian, who haven't read it? Does this appeal to you, or does this look like too much?
Yeah. For me, when you put the name Spielberg on there, that just kind of, that definitely kind of increases my curiosity. The subject matter, I was a little curious about, you know, just earlier, you know, just kind of like, I'm curious. But once the trailer popped out, I was like, all right, I'm in. So just the trailer alone, I mean, again, I had no background information at all on this. I've heard you talk about it a few times, but other than that, that's really all the information I ever had. I never really looked into it or read the book. So this was definitely an intriguing and fun trailer, and I'm on board.
I'm getting there. I mean, I was kind of surprised. It felt more like Michael Bay than Steven Spielberg to me.
Yeah.
I guess I was, based on what Scott had told me about the book, I was kind of looking for a little more wonder. Not so much, is Spielberg going to have hot teenage girls in this? Because it feels like there's going to be a little of that and some lens flare happening anytime. It just felt too busy. I mean, I thought this game was about imagination. And I mean, I guess that's kind of where we're at. People like bigger, faster, stronger. But I didn't get excited from it. I actually thought the trailer looked kind of, I don't know anything about the property other than what Scott told me. And based on, I was excited for the movie he told me about. I am not excited for the trailer I saw.
And I get that. I'm hoping that they just wanted to show off that to start out with, to get people interested that need that action sequences. I hope there's a lot more intrigue and wonder like you're talking about. Because at the beginning of the trailer, I really liked the way that they showed going into the Oasis, where you almost see it from behind the perspective of Wade. You know what I'm talking about, Aaron? Mm-hmm. Where the camera kind of pans around and like you're almost like right next to his eyeball, and the camera zooms into the Oasis. That was a really clever way to do that I've not seen done in movies based on virtual reality before. So there's potential, but I'm cautiously optimistic. And I'm looking forward to seeing the final product. But it makes me want to go reread the book again more than wanting to see the movie like right now, if that makes sense. And I'm definitely going to do that. So, but we'll see what happens. The second thing on my list is I may not have been quite as excited for, because I wanted to see the trailer for Ready Player One, but I appreciate more is the trailer for the second season of Westworld. You guys know I'm obsessed with Westworld. I adored that show. I've watched it 3 times now, and I never do that. This one started out with the player piano, as usual. This time it's playing a Sammy Davis Jr. song and was and just
Frank,
like the blood.
Frank Sinatra.
Same difference. They look the same. Okay. They're like brothers, right?
Yeah. Maybe. I'm pretty sure it was Frank Sinatra. You know what? Somebody clarify. I thought it was Frank Sinatra. He thinks it's Sammy Davis Jr. We'll see.
Okay. Well, anyway, going back to the player piano, there's like the blood on the piano paper. I just thought that was a neat little touch just to show you how twisted this world is. We get a cut to Bernard staring at a dead tiger by the river. What does that mean? And then this is a tiny little thing. I don't know if you guys caught this, but a fly lands on his collar, not on his face. And if you watch the first season, that's a big deal. And then we see an armed Maeve standing next to Sizemore in the control room. They're overlooking a bunch of bodies. And Sizemore just has this confused look on his face. Maeve just looks confident. I don't know. And then the shot of Dolores on horseback, taking down people with a rifle, just with this look on her face of just revenge or something. And then the final shot shows the man in black covered in blood, places his hat on his head. And then there's just this little twinge of a smirk and it fades to black. The whole thing was outstanding. I didn't think I could get any more excited for this season. Unfortunately, we have to wait till 2018 sometime. They still have not given it a definitive date, but it still looks amazing. You guys as stoked for this as I am?
Well, let me field this one because I don't know if you heard, but I do a podcast on Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's called Beyond Westworld. You should check it out. I hear it's good.
Where can I find that?
I think you ditched it mid-season, but that's beside the point.
I'm not arguing. I just
you know, we're not talking to you anymore. So you know, we each like threw out what we wanted. We kind of took. Oh, I gotta talk about this. I gotta talk about that. And Scott made sure to jump on Westworld right away. And I was actually talking to Troy on the phone, who does Beyond Westworld with me, on Messenger, at the same time when he did it. And I was telling him, I'm like, that sumbitch just took Westworld. He knows I do a podcast on it. He's like, that sumbitch is trying to get you. And I'm like, I know. So, yeah, I'm excited about it. It gives me something to talk about in 2018. I can't wait.
Why do you think I got a hold of it so quick? Glenda, you guys are going to talk about Marvel and DC, and I found something that I was most excited for. I want to get on that as soon as possible.
Well, because you don't keep up with the comics, right? You don't know the comics, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, you said it this time, not me.
I'm just getting ahead of it. I'm getting ahead of the game.
He's just beating you to it because we're going to be talking about a lot of comics, and you're going to be saying that like every other sentence.
No, I'm not.
We're going to establish that very early.
Set some precedence. What about the other guys? I'm obviously excited. What about them?
I'm lukewarm to it. I mean, the trailer looked cool. Everything about it. Yeah, I'm just
shut
lukewarm to it.
Shut your pie hole. Go back to bed. What do you mean?
It's 2018.
Screw so,
and it's two, what? TBD 2018. I can hold my breath for TBD 2018.
Yeah, well, keep holding it. I hold it until 2018 because that's what you deserve.
Please.
For slamming it.
It'll help us get Courtney on sooner.
Maybe that's why she's trying to kill me again.
It is. And the Tigers, Brian, be with me here. The Tigers, obviously a Walking Dead crossover, right? I mean, it's got to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything is kind of merging together these days. So we're going to see Walking Dead, Westworld, and Game of Thrones all kind of merged together with Supernatural. Just saying.
I would like. Jensen Ackles just roams through these randomly. Yeah. I would watch that.
And of course, and in like season two, they merge in Modern Family. Just saying.
And then you lost me.
No, Sofia Vergara is on there. You got me back. I'm with you.
Ariel Winter, just saying.
Oh, she's blossomed. Anyway, go ahead.
Wow. Hey, you guys let me know when it's safe to come back before the cops show up, okay?
She's legal. She's legal. Brian told me for sure.
Jesus.
We had a debate.
I was getting edited out.
Do you remember that? No, we had a debate.
Unfortunately. Shut up.
What just happened? Brian, what do you think of Westworld season two?
Oh, God. So I'm excited for it. Really, honestly, I don't even need a trailer for my excitement for the show. This is in the current shows that are airing nowadays. This is top three I mean, definitely top five, maybe top three. But this just kind of whets my appetite even more. It gives me a little taste to kind of tide me over for a while. So, this doesn't raise or lower my expectations at all. They were already pretty high for it. So,
I feel you. I could not watch this trailer though, just because I can't stay away from Star Wars trailers. I can't stay away from pretty much anything. So I had to watch it and. It's glorious. I cannot wait for that show.
You know what I think people don't realize is that it is actually, if I'm not mistaken, they didn't start filming until the beginning of July. So they've only had a couple weeks of filming. So my guess is that wasn't spoiling anything. It's probably from the very first episode.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. All right. My final, what are we calling this? A table or what are we?
Panel?
What do you want to call it, Scott?
It says panel. Scott's panel right above it. It says panel.
So it's only in big, bold, black letters, Scott.
I want to call it a rendezvous. How about that? I read a lot of notes, so I didn't feel like scrolling up, so sue me.
Okay. How about Snuggle Scrum?
There we go. I like it. Snuggle Scrum. It's like an English reference. All right. So the Blade Runner 2049 experience, and I've never been a huge fan of Blade Runner. I'll be the first to admit it. I watched the original a few years ago. And I found myself bored by the pacing. I know, sacrilege and write your emails.
I fall asleep every time I watch that movie.
Okay, I'm not alone in that. Okay.
No.
With that said, just reading about the Blade Runner 2049 experience got me a lot more interested in the new film. So they did it in two parts. They had like a separate tent that was like across the street from the panels. And the first part of it was a VR experience where you were a Blade Runner chasing down a replicant. Okay, that's pretty cool and whatever. But the second part, they actually had a live set that was set in the world of Blade Runner with real actors who would come up to you and offer you to help track down a replicant or even accuse you of being one yourself and insist on scanning you. And I just, that stuff is so cool to me that they actually make these worlds that look like the movies and they hire actors to play this role and feel like you're part of it to get this thing hyped up. And I assume you guys are more psyched for the movie than I am, but is this experience something that you would have liked to have taken part in like I did?
I don't buy into the whole thing about doing VR stuff. And like you guys mentioned, like as far as Harrison Ford catalog goes, I don't know why everyone's screaming up about this movie.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Scott. I'm with him. I know there's a lot of Blade Runner fans. I'm probably not one of them. I think it's fine. It's fine. Yeah.
No, that's cool. I'm like I said, I'm not in the camp of loving the original movie. So I just thought that the amount of work they put into this got me at least a little bit more excited to see the new one.
No, I'm excited. I love those things. I love when they put those together. You know, South by Southwest does those a lot too. So I've been to both. I've seen both of those things done where they do that, and it's a great experience for fans. It doesn't necessarily enhance my interest in the movie. I mean, every once in a while, like the Mummy virtual reality experience did make me more interested, but that kind of did a little bit more as it actually took you into a specific scene that was being filmed and made you feel like you were part of it. This is more of a, you're going to a cocktail party and everybody's kind of hanging out like they're in the Blade Runner movie. So to me, I don't know if it would work the same, but I like that they're trying that and trying to get people energized about it because I don't think Blade Runner is as revered as some people think it is. I guess. I think really just cult fans love it. I don't really know a whole lot of mainstream America that is a big Blade Runner fan.
I'm just glad to hear I'm not in the minority.
Yeah, it's kind of like kale. You either really love it or you really couldn't give two craps about it.
So one of the things about this panel that I thought was interesting, though, was I don't know. It was a really cool aside about it was so somebody got up and asked a question of Harrison Ford, and the question was, are you just going to, is your goal, the goal for your rest of your life just to reboot every major franchise you've ever been a part of? Ooh. And Harrison Ford leans forward and says, you goddamn right it is.
Good for That's him. Awesome. Good for him.
Was that like just a random person from the audience?
Yeah, it was just a random person who got a chance to ask a question and he decided to be a dick about it.
That's what he does. Great. He is a living embodiment of Grumpy Cat.
No, well, not him, but the audience member was basically, that's a dickish question to ask, and he had every right to be Grumpy Cat about it.
Well, totally.
Well, the actual quote was, you bet your ass, but.
All right, well, same difference.
I'm just,
if we're quoting, I just want to make sure that, you know, we don't get the backlash that, you know, the you know, that we are inevitably going to get. So,
all right. Well, the way I saw it in my head was better.
No. Hey, look, yours is way more theatric, and I like yours way better. And and the fact that he whipped out the machine gun and took out half the crowd was way better. But
you saw really, that yeah, too?
Yeah,
that was me.
No. I saw that. Yeah, absolutely. I told when you presented that, that's what I totally saw.
All right.
But yeah, you bet your ass. That's what he.
Excuse me while I whip this thing out.
Oh, boy. All right. So that was my panel. Let's move on to John's.
All right. So I hope you guys are all buckled in for all this, because apparently DC Universe came locked and loaded with a whole lot of new stuff to show people. So starting off, we got Jason Momoa opened up the DC panel running in with the Trident for Aquaman.
Yeah.
And that's actually kind of cool. He had some sort of awesome rock star music behind him, and I forget which song it was, but hey, it's there. And he got to introduce a few things of the concept art, which I really wish I could have gotten my hands on, but I wasn't able to find anywhere. But also introduced James Wan, who's actually still working on the movie someplace else, so he couldn't show up. And then they showed a little bit of a sizzle scene for the movie, which. To give you guys a description, it opens up on some French fishermen who are out fishing, and they get caught in their line, and it starts to yank the boat about. And when it stops yanking the boat about, the camera pans back and you see a giant ship underneath them with shark riders and other little ships moving around. It's a big militia that's underneath the water. Then it cuts over to Jason Momoa's Aquaman underwater looking at this militia and says something quirky, something snarky, and then it moves off. So far, people are saying that it rings really loud and true of James Wan's Fast and the Furious background. So what does that do for you guys?
That means there's a good chance Amber Heard's going to be killed in a car accident. I am all for it.
Oh, God. I wish the car flies off a bridge and hits her.
I mean, her character, Queen Mira or whatever her name is. Just a character.
Oh, right.
Not the actress. Safe. Be safe.
Right.
Sorry, was that too harsh? I don't know where the line is anymore.
I just got to see something with Amber Heard to understand the hatred for this actress, because I just...
No, it's not hate. It's indifference. It's indifference. It's strong.
Well, it's a very strong indifference, because the acting is just not there.
I mean, it's like when actors go to acting school, she's not present.
She skipped that semester.
When her best role is a guest star on Criminal Minds, there might be a problem.
Hey, let's not rip on other. There might be some fantastic guest stars on Criminal Minds. Just because she fluked out there doesn't mean that we got to pick on everybody else. Brian, do you want to see Aquaman?
Absolutely. Aquaman is the little bit that I've seen of him as Aquaman is just badass. He's also my favorite character to play on Injustice 2. Just so you know. Just throw a little Gaming Insider shade in there. Absolutely. Take my money now. Take it.
All right.
Take it.
Yeah. To me, he's the most interesting thing about those trailers. I think he looks awesome. I cannot wait to see what they do with him. You know, how he's able. Are they going to talk about how he's able to walk on land, or is that going to be something that they talk about at all?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen him hanging out in a bar. So apparently he drinks. I don't know. I guess he doesn't have gills or something. I don't know.
He drinks like a fish.
Somebody beat me to it.
Oh boy. Oh.
So yeah, I mean, honestly, between him and Wonder Woman are the two most interesting characters of the Justice League that we've seen so far.
Because of the two that we haven't seen, period.
Well, the Flash is quirky. Yeah, he's got a little humor. He brings the humor element. Cyborg looks about as interesting as a cardboard box. And, you know, Batman, we've got all the drama around Batman is all more about Ben Affleck coming or going, whichever one he's doing. I don't know.
All right, so, we'll get to that part. Aaron, what are your thoughts on it?
Legitimate thoughts are, Brian and Scott both know. Well, and John, you've been listening the whole time, but those guys have been on the show with me for years. They know I hate Aquaman. I hate the character. Yeah. I hate everything about that because it's the dumbest character in all. It's just nothing about it. You shut up. It
Let's
sucks.
Just move on to somebody else who's.
Let me finish. No. As a character, I've never enjoyed him because I'm like, all you got to do is just you know, leave the water. You're all good. So what's the problem? But this is the first time I've actually been interested. This is the coolest Aquaman has ever been in the history of his character. I just love what he's doing with it. I know it's a dude bro kind of thing. I don't care. I'm digging it. And that dude has so much energy. How do you not get enthusiastic about whatever he's going to do with it? I mean, you see him in the interviews and on that panel. I mean, that guy, he's running through the crowd with a trident. That's awesome.
Yep.
All on deck.
He actually went from like one panel to the next right after that and still kept up that same energy from all the reports that I was reading. So again, he's like almost on rock level energy level.
Which
is impressive.
Give him some time. Maybe he'll get there.
Well, you know, the guy himself, like a couple weeks ago, I watched a different movie that had Bruce Willis in it, and he probably was in the movie for a total of 10 minutes, and Jason Momoa was the best part of the whole movie. The guy has got a lot of class to him. He's got a lot of talent. I think he's gonna have a lot of fun with this role, and good for him for getting this kind of role. I just really hope that the director and everybody makes this happen for him as much as the effort seems to be that he's putting into it. But moving on, let's go to the other big thing that happened, which is the Justice League trailer. So I'm just going to tell you, for me, the Justice League trailer that came out a couple of months ago was excitement. I got thrilled. I was pumped. I was ready to go. This one I was equally excited for, but something weird is happening to me, which is I watch this trailer and when I stop watching it and I walk away and I have about 5 minutes, I start getting a weird feeling in the pit of my stomach like something's wrong. When I think about this trailer,
is it because of all the reshoots?
Hey, they're spending $26 million on reshoots.
That's a pickup. So on top of just a pickup here and there. That's all.
Yeah, that's you know, for any other movie, that's nearly an entire movie. But $26 million for just the reshoots. So, and the thing they're having trouble with on the reshoots is that Henry Cavill has a mustache, so they've got to wipe out his mustache for everything. Spoiler: Henry Cavill's in it. Sorry.
Can we talk about that for a second? Like, why is that a spoiler? Because who else is Alfred talking to?
Well, I mean, you can say who else is he talking to. It could be literally anybody, but we all know it's Superman. It's just, let's just call a spade a spade. So the mustache is a problem because Paramount won't let him shave it because he's working on Mission Impossible at the moment. Ezra Miller is working on a Fantastic Beasts sequel, and then Gal Gadot and Ben Affleck actually have nothing to do. So they're just hanging around waiting to be called. So that's the kind of things we have going on. All right. Brian, what are your thoughts? Did we lose Brian? Did we lose me?
No, you lost me. I muted it. I was pulling up another article. So anyway,
Pornhub is not an article.
It is when she's
Jesus. Continue.
Yeah. That one's going to keep staying in the podcast, ain't it? This is one of those to where I was excited to see the new trailer, but the trailer in a vacuum did not do much for me. But I know enough of the property. I'm excited enough for the property that it didn't really diminish my enthusiasm for the movie. So it felt a little bit disjointed. I don't know. It just, I wasn't exactly like amped by it whenever I finished watching it. Like, it was kind of like, all right, good. I saw a little bit more footage. I get a little bit better idea. So I'm still excited for it. Yay. But I wasn't just pumped up for it after I finished watching it, though, unfortunately.
Okay. So I'm not the only one on that side of it then.
No, I'm actually with you too, John, because, and I don't know if it's fair to hear it come from me, who was not as big a fan of Batman versus Superman, but...
Or because you don't read comic books?
Jesus.
Oh, here we go.
No, I watched this trailer and there was so much going on and so many colors and explosions and massive things happening. And I just felt underwhelmed. I don't know why. It feels odd to feel underwhelmed with a trailer that looked like that, but... It's not like I'm not going to see it. I definitely want to check it out, if nothing else, for Aquaman. But yeah, I just hope that I like the movie better than I like the trailer. Okay. Aaron, what about you?
I worry that they're trying to Marvel it up too much. I know a lot of Marvel fans want that. I'm not one of them. I really could see honing the story. I've always said the problem with those movies has been the story, not the aesthetic. they have a great visual look to them, I think. I love the fact that it's completely different. The templates are completely different. They look like different movies. But I think because Wonder Woman was a success, and Wonder Woman is a little more closer in terms to Marvel's tone, what people seem to forget is the character is more in line with Marvel's tone as well. But, you know, beside that, I don't want to get too close to that line. I feel like this trailer is trying too hard. It's like hanging out with a friend that's just trying so hard to be funny, and he's not a funny dude. And you know he's not funny. Everybody else knows, but he just doesn't get that he's not funny. Stop trying to be the guy you're not. Just be who you are. And I feel like it's struggling.
I feel like you're trying to tell me something.
No. I mean, I didn't say John Davenport specifically.
I feel like Aaron should take his own, like, observations.
Anyway, personally, I feel like it has an identity crisis based on the trailer. I was more excited for the last trailer. This one I felt didn't hit the right beats. I felt like it was trying too hard. And I said that I took 5 minutes to say six words. So,
all right. And it's understandable.
And I also want to say now I'm very self-conscious and I won't make any more jokes or quips the rest of the show.
Wait, says
stick with organization and functionality and you'll be golden. Just saying.
And so Sly impression.
Says something and it's all of a sudden you get tense. Is that how this works? Everybody else can say something and you're like, no, screw that. But Brian comes along. I have to watch my P's and Q's.
I hope you hyperventilate. I hope and your bag explodes. What's next, John? Please tell us. I would love to hear the next one.
All right. So DC has released what their slate is going to be. But before we go into their slate, Ben Affleck did take the time to confirm that he is sticking around for Batman. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to do anything. Should we take him at his word, or do we think he's going to jump ship?
I don't believe anything anybody says anymore. I've been lied to so much in all media industries. So I don't know. We're just hearing it from the actor. We're not hearing it from everybody else.
Put it when does it become enough? Warner Brothers has said he's on board. He said he's on board. The director said he's on board. Yet people still want to say he's leaving. So
Is that coming from?
Well, honestly, I think people love at this moment to rip DC apart. I think anything that's salacious, they want to print it because it gets clicks. It honestly gets clicks. Now, there might be some truth to it. Maybe he hem-hawed with some friends or something. And so that comes across. I don't know. But I'm getting sick of that story. I am sick to death of it. Literally, everyone involved with the movie that has a prominent involvement with the movie has said he's good. So stop bringing it up. Not you, right. John. I'm talking about the media. I mean, as far as taking his word, I mean, if I'm married to him, if I'm Jennifer Garner, not taking his word. Everybody else, take his word. He's fine.
Aren't they divorced by now?
They are divorced.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's happened. He's dating some comedy writer for, you know what? This isn't that kind of podcast.
It's not that kind of podcast.
But yeah, but way below Batman's level. Let's just put it that way.
All right, whatever that means. So because it looks like DC is actually hedging their bets right now, so they're really trying to put together, like we mentioned before, they're putting in $26 million more into reshooting Justice League. After Justice League, we have Aquaman. And because they're still looking for directors for Flashpoint, I'm going to jump the gun and just call it Flashpoint. Surprise. They're also looking, still doing pre-production on Suicide Squad 2 and a couple other movies. They announced what their next movie is going to be after Aquaman, and it's going to be Shazam. Oh, my God. I am so excited.
Really?
Yeah, I really am. He is honestly one of my favorite characters. Next to Superman, Shazam's my next favorite character.
Very cool.
I like it.
Cool. Why do you like him so much?
I just like, as a kid, he really kind of resonated with me because I always wanted to be the kid that got magical powers and turned into a man and whoops some ass. I mean, I wanted to be that. I really enjoyed the TV show. I loved the comic. I actually rebought some of the comics to dig into a couple months ago. And it's a fun comic. And the story behind it's awesome. A kid basically learning how to be an adult, and he's on his own. And just because he's just such a good kid, he gets granted this ability by a wizard. Come on. Magic? Superman kind of powers? All right. I'm in for that. Anybody else down for some Shazam action?
When I hear Shazam, I remember that like Do you remember the 80s? It was on Saturday mornings. It was Shazam! You remember that? Am I the only
was
one?
It 80s or 70s? I mean, it was
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it was old. It was old. It was pretty
it
old.
Was 70s.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because I remember it. And yeah, even then I remember it being cheesy. I enjoyed it, but I remember it being kind of cheesy. But that is kind of that paradoxical kind of freaking good memory / bad memory that kind of goes with Shazam. Like, I never took him fully seriously. I don't know. I don't know. Shazam is not a property I'm exactly excited about necessarily. Okay.
So the counterpoint to Shazam is a character by the name of Black Adam, who's played by the Hulk. Not the Hulk. The Rock. Same now, difference.
I heard a rumor the Rock was leaving. Is that wrong?
It's still a little up in the air because he was signed on to do it. And now because of the timing, he may have to step down, but they're still pointing at him to be Black Adam.
Okay. So we don't know. It's another one of those things. We don't know. We'll have to take the actor at his word.
Yeah, okay. That's basically it. He still says he's on board and everybody else says he's on board. It's just, you know, it's just one of those things.
Totally understand.
Yeah. So the director actually is somebody who's of interest to me. Does the name David F. Sandberg mean anything to anybody here?
No.
Negative.
It's going to mean something to Brian in a second. He's the director of Annabelle Creation.
Oh, I'm listening.
Wood chipper, you know, and fire tree doll thing. Yeah. And he's also the director of Lights Out, which is a surprisingly great horror flick. So the two things he's directed are horror movies. Isn't it kind of surprising that he'd be doing this?
Yeah, this is but I mean, we've seen actors that are maybe more or less known for a specific movie, if not a full on genre, take on these types of properties. So I'm fine with that. It doesn't necessarily raise a red flag or a, you know, whatever, green flag. I don't know, whatever, checkered flag. I don't know, whatever.
Now we're just playing NASCAR.
I don't know what the opposite of a red flag is.
Green so, card.
Sure. Hey, what? We're good.
Why is INS involved?
No foul. He's safe. Safe. No tag. Kenneth Branagh is known for, you know, for Shakespeare type of, you know, he made a lot of Shakespeare type of movies, and yet he's made a couple of freaking superhero movies. Mm-hmm. So
true.
Yeah. You know, whatever.
Let's see what happens.
Obviously
there were discussions, and then there were meetings, and there were probably more meetings, and then they probably discussed ideas and directions and all that stuff over brunch and whatever, salmon crepes and freaking mimosas, and said, you know what? Yeah, let's sign this guy. So, yeah, it's probably good.
Okay. All right. So to finish off the DC panel, as I mentioned before, the slate right now is Shazam, then Suicide Squad 2, then Batman. Justice League Dark is going to actually get a movie, which is actually kind of incredible. Flash has been renamed to Flashpoint, so they're going to do a Flashpoint storyline for Flash. And Wonder Woman's going to get her sequel, then Green Lantern, and then Batgirl. That's their current slate. No real dates have been that I've been able to find for a lot of these, with the exception of maybe 8 years, which, I mean, it's them basically saying, well, if the next couple of movies work out, this is what we're going to do. So that's where we're on that. Moving on, though, we got some DC TV stuff going on. Are you guys ready?
Yeah. Well, yes, I want to go back to Flashpoint real quick. Is that does that mean that, for whatever reason, doesn't that mean that Batman's dad can be alive?
In a alternate reality, yes. When Flashpoint happens, he goes to alternate reality where Thomas Wayne is Batman, which is he runs around with guns as opposed to how Bruce Wayne does it. But yes, that's where we're at. And the Joker is they never really prove it, but they hint that the Joker is Bruce Wayne's mom.
Interesting. Okay, what's next? DCTV.
DCTV. So up first, because there is a lot of crap here. Before I get into this, any of you guys watch any of the DC TV shows?
Nope. So you can be as quick as possible. Maybe Brian.
Negative.
Nope.
Negative.
All right.
I watch Arrow, and I used to watch Flash. I got off of Flash because I got tired of speedsters being the villain. That got really old really fast. And Arrow, I do come back to Arrow every now and again. But
okay. So my favorite of the group of DC CW shows is Supergirl. Reason being, it's a light, it's a happy, fun show. Melissa Benoist is amazing in the role. She has a great way of conveying joy and happiness. I'm disappointed in the trailer for this because in the trailer, they drop a lot of hints that she's dropping the whole idea of being human and going straight Kryptonian. And it's really dour and not a great feeling trailer. I was a little disappointed in that, but I was weirded out to see that they changed the actress out for that was playing Kara's mother, who's Melissa Benoist's character. It was Laura Benanti and Lois Lane. Erica Durance is going to be taking over that role, which
that's weird.
And that is kind of weird, isn't it?
That's weird. So that feels like incest in some way. I don't know.
It does. they gave us an idea of who's going to be showing up for the villains in this season, which we're going to have Adrian Pazdar of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Heroes. He's going to show up and he's going to be Morgan Edge, which in the comics, he's the head of Inner Gang. In this, he's an real estate magnate and he has some sort of sinister plans. Odette Annabelle from Rain will showing up this season playing a doomsday like character. Her name is Rain. And she's a Kryptonian creature made by a Kryptonian scientist. And she's essentially Supergirl's doomsday. We have another character, Psy. So we have a whole cavalcade.
You're losing me. You better kick up the excitement.
Hang on. I'm going to take a nap real quick. You let me know when you're done.
Oh, what's the next show?
All right. So yeah, there's a whole cavalcade of stuff going on here. So the next show. All right. So the season 4 trailer Flash also dropped. It's very Irish-centric.
It's Irish?
Yeah.
Gosh, we're getting mighty racist.
Oh, I got to get to the really past, yeah. I sure do.
the lad is running at a very fast, aren't he?
They dropped some hints as to what we're going to get this season. So we're going to get our very first non-speedster main villain in the form of the Thinker, the character Clifford DeVoe. He's the theft. But it's weird because he's the fastest thinking man alive. Okay. Danny Trejo is going to show up as a dimensional bounty hunter by the name of Breacher. And then we have some sort of katana wielding villain that they aren't even telling us who he is. It's interesting. It's weird. I'm actually hopeful for this season, even though I don't understand how they're going to bring Barry back from last season. But it does seem like the Rogues are going to get their chance to shine in the light on this one. So it seems like they're going to be doing a lot more stuff with the Rogues, and I'm excited to see the Rogues do stuff. All right. Deep breath.
I feel bad. You don't have the audience for this, but there are people listening that probably care. So keep going, man. Keep doing it.
Emphasis being on the word probably.
Probably. All right.
Maybe not every character, but some of the story points that I care about.
Yeah. Moving on, the Arrow. The trailer dropped for this, and it seemed like it was going to be a rehash of nothing but a rehash of what happened last season. They showed a lot of it, but then they cut into some of the stuff they did have filmed for this season. Manu Bennett is going to return as a season regular as Slade Wilson, Deathstroke, which is really kind of cool because he was probably the best villain the show's had.
Agreed.
Katie Cassidy is coming back as Nega Laurel Lance. Yeah, she's coming back. She's not Laurel Lance that we know. She's Laurel Lance from Earth 2, and she's Black Siren. So she's a villain.
This stuff is getting. This works in comics. I don't think it works on television. I'm sorry, but yeah.
The really cool thing is we've got somebody else joining that I was surprised to find out, which is Michael Emerson's going to be joining the show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's a big fan favorite for a lot of people for Lost and for a Person of Interest. It's going to be neat to see where he goes or what he ends up doing. And I like to see the difference that he might make to the show. It would be pretty cool. During the panel, I got to see one of the coolest things happen, though. So for those who don't know, Stephen Amell does a cancer charity. He sells these shirts for a cancer charity. And he had a young girl went up and asked him a question, and she was wearing the Arrow costume. She's probably like 10 or 11. And she asked him if he is going to still be selling those shirts. And she then explains that she really wants to get one because she is currently fighting cancer. So he calls her up to the stage. He jumps down and he takes a necklace off and he says, look, a friend of mine made this for me. It's really special to me. I'm going to give this to you and you better come back next year to give it back to me.
Oh,
sweetest thing I've seen. I mean, that was amazing, right?
Well, I mean, if she dies, is he going to be pissed?
I mean, maybe.
Is he going to like hold it against her? Like, what the hell?
That little bitch did not bring my necklace back.
You didn't try hard enough.
So horrible.
God, this got dark. This got so dark.
It's very sweet. No, he's a really cool guy.
But yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't watch the show, but I've seen a lot of positive stuff about him that really endears me to him on a, I guess, a personal level, not so much the TV show, but it makes me like him as a person more than him as Green Arrow.
Yeah, but I do picture in about 13 months him showing up at somebody's door going, look, I'm going to need that necklace back.
So finally, of the DC CW shows that we had panels for, Black Lightning. Now, did any of you guys have any interest in this show?
I actually do because it's an odd concept. Like, it's the only one that's not in the same universe or something.
That's right. It's completely separate from the rest of the shows.
I'm not saying that's racist, but it feels a little racist. But what's going on with that? Why is that?
They actually didn't go into it they just wanted it to be its own thing. And I kind of respect them for that. However, I kind of am a little brokenhearted over the idea of no crossing over. But they wanted it to be its own thing. And the whole feel of the show, from what I understand and what I've read on it, is that it's going to be about family. It's going to be more of a family-centric kind of show.
Oh, boy.
Yes, there's going to be fighting. Yes, there's going to be some heroing going on. But
there's going to be car chases.
Possible. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. It's really sad that we can't hear that word anymore without grimacing, you know? That's
right.
Yeah, I used to hear family and be like, oh, it fills me with warmth and heart. And now it makes me go, oh, family.
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 So what people got to see is a sizzle reel there at Comic-Con, and the sizzle reel told them about the whole family thing, explained to people why in the show, and at least from the preview that we got a few months ago of the show, why Black Lightning stepped out of the spotlight, stepped away from being a superhero, and then why he's forced to come in. And a lot of it has to do with his daughters, because his daughters in the comics are Thunder and Lightning. They're actual superheroes themselves. Mm. And it seems like there's a big hint as to them being the reason why he comes back, because he essentially trains them to be heroes themselves.
Okay. I'm interested in that show. I legitimately am.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Legends of the Tomorrow had a trailer and stuff going on.
We're going to talk about that one?
Well, no. The best part of this, because I really don't dig this show, it's like the one show that I can't get into. Victor Garber. Do we know who Victor Garber is?
Hell yeah. Alias.
Yep.
Alias, right. He makes a joke in this trailer saying the Titanic, whoever made that, should be shot. I thought that was hysterical. That was the best part of the whole thing.
Remember earlier when I said the one guy who tried too hard? That he feels like that guy.
Right.
Yeah. No. Man.
No.
None of us are clicking right now. What's going on with this? I think it's because you talked about all the damn DC TV that they had. That's the problem.
You're probably right. Let's move on to something somebody else. Let's move on to something everybody else wants to talk about. How about some Stranger Things 2 action, boys?
Yes.
Now we're coming back to life a little bit.
Yes. Now I have
I've heard Scott. Was that Scott that said something? I hadn't heard it in like 19 minutes.
Is that how long we talked about DC TV?
I think so.
I don't know. I picked a number, but it's got to be close.
It's probably pretty close. I tried to make that as fast as possible.
That's amazing. In a bad way.
Yeah. All right, Brian.
Love you there.
You have the mic. Why don't you tell us about how you felt about the Stranger Things 2 trailer, my friend?
I hate to kind of repeat myself, but this is one of those properties that I don't need a trailer to amp up my excitement. However, this trailer, God almighty, it really amped up my excitement. It's
so what was the point of saying the first part?
Now you got jokes. 20 minutes later, now you got jokes. Oh my God. Why didn't you play some of those earlier? So, it might have been more entertaining.
I'm crying.
Like in a cancer kind of way. I love you. So.
You mean like how Scotty keeps on losing weight because of cancer?
It's not cancer. It's called metabolism.
Oh my God.
Don't be jealous.
It's AIDS. Whatever. This is one of those properties that I'm in the same boat as probably hundreds of millions of other people in this world that are just absolutely in love with this franchise. And to see this footage, it says, okay, we're taking everything you love and we're just going to turn it up to like 11, you know.
There's a character named 11. You don't have to reference Spinal Tap, dumbass.
Yeah, okay.
I thought it was clever, Brian.
It was. If he knew he did it, he literally didn't know that he did it.
That wasn't even to happen. That was just. I was actually Spinal Tap reference. Not
reference. So, that's just Brian. You should have just gone with it. They gave you a compliment. You could have covered it up and been fine.
Look, I'm all about transparency here. You know. If I'm an F-tard, then I'm an F-tard. So.
Thank you for editing yourself.
I own it. So this, whatever. I'm excited about it. I love this trailer. I know this comes out later this year. I'm totally amped for it. I'm going to spend whatever weekend this comes out, I'm spending all weekend watching it. What about you, Scotty?
Same thing, man. I watched the original I started at like 8 o'clock at night and only stopped watching it because I had to sleep. And I literally woke up and turned it back on and finished it. And so it's basically one sitting. I can't wait to rewatch that one. And then right before getting into this one, it just looks fantastic. They've got the tone the same. Is it just me or does it seem like the kids haven't aged as much as you expect between seasons and other shows? Like did they start filming like right away?
No, they had them start smoking just so they could stunt their growth a little bit, keep them down. You know, they pay extra for that.
Lots of coughing.
And was it a spoiler to see 11 in that? I mean, we kind of had to know that was going to happen, but.
No,
would you rather that? Spoiler or not? I mean, we can talk about that in a little bit, but I don't think it was a spoiler or not.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's a spoiler. I think it's more of a tease. Like she's one of those characters that you expect to see, and you're waiting that whole 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, you know, bam! Finally, there she is, and it's more of a tease than it is a spoiler. I think.
Okay. I'm also really excited to see more of Will because we lost Will in the first episode and didn't get to see him again until the very end. So he's like one of the main characters and we barely saw him. So it's going to be nice to actually have him interact with the other kids with how this story is going. Well, hopefully, fingers crossed, but I'm stoked. Just everything about this trailer just sums up that era. I mean, the Michael Jackson track playing overhead, into that art that just like, dank arcade and just bring more of that. The theme song, hearing that in the trailer got me amped again, man. I think that theme song has sold that series more than any other TV show I've ever watched in terms of like, if I hear that and it just makes me want to go watch it. It's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
I love Stranger Things. And I know a lot of people say, I've seen this a lot that, well, it's just all it is nostalgia. No, I think it's a really cleverly written show. And it's a really interesting premise with great. Those kids are great. I don't want Will back. Kill Will. Have him go search for Barb. I don't give a rat's ass. I think he'll mess up the dynamic. I want the core element from the first season. I love that element. It was very Goonies meets E.T. And I loved that. Yeah, it's from the 80s, but it also felt like it's its own thing. So I can't wait for more. I can't wait till they kick it up to an 11, you know, in reference to Spinal Tap.
All right, so some of the things that we learned from the panel they had, Will Byers is definitely front and center in a lot of this. It looks like he is stuck between two different worlds. We saw some great imagery with six-legged monsters in the sky, him slipping in and out of the upside down. What did this do for you guys? Did it help you get more amped, or was it like did it just make you?
Didn't we just talk about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm going in a little bit detail as far as him being stuck in two different
worlds. Really, because it feels like the same question.
It does feel like the same question.
Okay, I'll move on to my next question then.
All right.
You know what? Screw this. All right. So my next question was, Sheriff Hopper in the first season, kind of a dick, becomes a great guy. He's kind of a hero, makes some sort of deal. We find out that the deal is with Matthew Modine. We're going to find out some more about that this season. Scott, do you want to hear more? Yes. Do you want to hear more, Brian? Of course, you're going to want to see it. Aaron, yeah, you want to see more. Moving on. Eleven becomes a full-fledged character. She's going to be doing a lot more than face acting. It's just going to be a whole sorts of like an actual character now instead of just doing like pointing face and then bleeding nose. So she's the actual actress. Billy is very excited about this. And then we're going to get some new actors coming in.
Isn't it Millie? Is it Millie?
Millie Bobby Brown. Yeah, whatever. Millie. Here we go. I put it all in the one word.
It's her prerogative. That's fine.
It's her prerogative. We do get some new actors. Sean Astin's joining the cast this year. Paul Reiser is going to be here. We do get a new girl joining our group of boys in the form of Sadie Sink. She is going to be some sort of source of tension for them, but it's really shaping up to be pretty cool. I'm excited.
We're excited. I'm excited.
I'm
feel
done.
These nipples.
I cannot hide it.
Aaron, you've got some panels to talk about, right?
I do. It's my panel. I know that because it says over my name, Aaron's panel. So first,
is it
up,
a panel or is it a fling or finger flopper?
I thought this was the DC and Stranger Things podcast.
Here's what I like about Legends of Tomorrow. Poor John. See, John, this is what you weren't here when Brian's era. That's all that ever was. It's just constant.
Oh, John, are we spreaking your heart?
Oh, no. This is actually getting interesting. I can sprake your doors.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start off with, because they haven't had one there in forever, and it filled the cockles of my heart with Psych. And everybody knows I'm going to talk about it. I don't care. I know, we're going to talk about Psych. Here's what we learned. Timothy Omenson, who played Lasseter in the show, he had a stroke shortly before filming, which is horrible news. I mean, yeah, I mean, I feel bad for him, his health, but I'm like, that means Lasseter won't be in the show. I'm a horrible person. But it turns out they actually figured out a way to put him in one scene, so his presence is definitely felt throughout the movie. But if they do more movies, Steve Franks, the creator, said that if this one is well received, he would like to do a Fast and Furious style series where there would be five total movies. I don't know what that means exactly, but in the future movies, Lasseter would make a comeback. And then they dropped a hilarious training montage where it shows the stars James Rodet and Dulé Hill getting back in Psych shape by practicing one-liners like "Suck it," "Come on, son," and I almost cried with joy. I mean, to see them doing the things that they do, and James Rodet doing push-ups while he's like "Suck," or no, arm curls. He's doing arm curls. He's like "Suck it, suck." It just filled the cockles of my heart with joy. And also on the panel, if you go to YouTube and watch the actual panel, they led the fans in a sing-along of the theme song, and Jimmy Simpson moderated the panel. It was great. So, that said, I know I'm probably – well, no, John, you're a big Psych fan. Were you excited?
I was excited. When I saw that sizzler, I was just – oh, God, man. I was just so happy. Even when you knew the jokes they were setting up, like the fact that they're sitting next to each other, but Sean called up Gus anyways. Mm-hmm. And then they, come here, child. No, that's not it. Come here. Oh, you hear about Neptune? No, that's not it. All of it was great. I can't wait for this movie. I need some joy in my life, and nothing did fill that hole as well as Psych did.
Scotty,
I'm obviously not as stoked as you, but I do feel the need to go back and give that series another shot. And I mean that sincerely, not just because you talk about it all the time, but I don't know. I did enjoy the first series, or the first season rather. And I didn't have the love for it that you did, but I could see what you appreciated about it. And I think the fact that this is still going is just even more of the case that I need to go back and try it again. So is it still on Netflix? Do you know?
Nope.
No,
it's been off for about a year now.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to borrow your DVDs then at some point.
There you go. So you can not watch them. Brian, What about you? Are you a big Psych fan at all? I don't even
never
really know.
Never watched one episode.
Okay.
So I got nothing to contribute in a positive fashion to this show.
Well, that's good. Then let's take a big dose of shut up and we'll move on. Marvel movies.
There you go.
Marvel movies. We're going to take this to 11. this actually stemmed from the Legion panel, but showrunner Noah Hawley, who is also behind Fargo, I should mention, announced that he is working on a new film for Fox involving the Fantastic Four to a degree called Doctor Doom. That's right. He's going to do a movie based on the villain Doctor Doom. Normally, I would say, run! But Noah Hawley has done Legion, which I enjoy. I don't love that one, but I enjoy it. But Fargo, I love. That gives me a lot of hope. Who's excited about this? Brian, I'll come back to you.
All right. Well, you know, because Doctor Doom is so misunderstood, and, you know, in his pursuit for world domination, multi-world domination, I guess. So this is a but Doctor Doom is one of those characters that I one of those villains that I could see a series or a movie centering around and seeing the different perspective other than the typical hero movie. So yeah, this one intrigues me a little bit. Doctor Doom is not, he's never been one of my favorite villains. He's never been, if I listed my top 50 heroes and villains type of deal, he wouldn't be on that list at all. But this is what, but his background is one of those to where I can see a mini franchise maybe being built around him. And maybe this could lead, maybe this is a way of wading into the Fantastic Four property to where the Fantastic Four is a little bit more marketable, because they've had what, 3 films so far and not done well by general standards. So,
yeah, this is a different way to do it. That's for sure. John, you're a big comic fan. What do you think?
I don't care. Screw Doctor Doom, screw Fantastic Four. This, I mean, but bless the director for making an attempt. Good for him. He gets a blue ribbon.
Okay.
I don't know why everyone has this weird fascination with Doctor Doom. He's still, everyone calls him like the greatest villain Marvel has because he wins sometimes. Okay. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. Not for me.
Wasn't he the villain that everybody hated in the last movies? Like, just the portrayal was awful. Are they just hoping this guy's going to do it better?
That's right. Yeah, pretty much. But that's writing and acting. But he's even, you know, and for Aaron, he's even got a little bit of ties to Spider-Man. So
True.
You know, there is that.
Yeah, but that'll never happen because Fox doesn't want to play with Marvel. So that's just
Fox
never gonna
is happen. Dumb.
Or Sony.
Yeah. Fox just doesn't want to play with anybody because they're like, we got, this is ours.
Yeah, we know what we're doing.
Like Ike Turner locks it in a closet every time she comes home, and then every time she brings up going somewhere else, bam! That's what Fox is.
Get back in there.
Let me show you what I'm gonna do to the X-Men real quick. You watching? You watching? It's like watching Saul here.
Ooh. All right. Well, moving on to some other Marvel movies. An Infinity War trailer was shown at Comic-Con, and it showcased the Guardians, Cap, Iron Man, Black Panther, Spider-Man, and a slew of heroes going up against Thanos, who's the kind of villain who throws a moon at people. That's impressive. That's a little weird, but it sounds cool. The trailer leaked. I want to know if any of you watched it. I did not for personal reasons. And also, if you did or didn't watch it, what's your opinion of leaked trailers? John.
I didn't watch.
Oh, Scott. Sorry, it's the second time Scott starts jumping in. I'm like, all right, Scott.
I like aggressive Scott.
I did not watch it, mostly because of the poor quality. If I'm going to watch that trailer, I want to watch it in full screen and not a motion cam, because everyone that posted it said it was just really bad to watch. You saw what happened, but it wasn't good quality. So I just decided to wait. But in terms of my feelings about leaks, I think the people that filmed it are kind of jerks, because there's a reason that they have you collect your phones, and they don't want that kind of stuff to happen. And while I personally don't understand the reasons why they don't just release that to the public, that's their choice to do it, and that's what they want. So we respect that. So I'll just wait until they officially release it to watch it.
I'll second what Scott said.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp too. I don't, and when it comes to the Marvel movies done by Disney. I don't watch, I do the best I can to not watch as many of those trailers, period, full stop. But I wouldn't have watched it because I don't buy into the whole leaking thing. I don't buy into pirating. I don't buy into that. I mean, I don't abide for any of it.
The dude don't abide.
Oh, somebody the dude had to don't do abide. It. All right. Well, they did show some Black Panther footage, which raised a little bit of a ruckus, but I couldn't find it online. I know his suit glows, so that's cool. I did, however.
I heard that was the only trailer that got a standing ovation after it was done. I can't confirm that. That's what I was told by somebody that was there.
Wow. Well, then I'm sure it's true. I mean, if somebody told you, it had to be true. Was that the agreeing? Or is that the shut the hell up, Aaron? Because we have a whole thing.
I'll let you decide.
Okay. No, I just usually use the shut the hell up, Aaron, instead of the
Okay. Well, I did, however, watch the latest Thor Ragnarok trailer, and holy balls, it's insane. It's a very 80s infused soundtrack. If you haven't seen it, and I don't know if I mentioned, all the trailers that we're talking about are at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Just go to the trailers of Comic-Con 2017. It's right there. But it's a very 80s infused soundtrack set against a new villain in Kate Blanchett's Hela, or is it Hela or Hela?
Hela.
No, she's Hela Awesome is what she is, who seems to be taking over Asgard. And this is, was it Taiki Waititi or however you say it from?
Oh my God, dude. You actually texted me the pronunciation on this, and I actually texted you the pronunciation back.
And what was it?
Taika Waititi.
See, why do I need to say it if you can do it for me? Just be my bitch.
I don't know. You should have gave me a prompt earlier, and I would have quoted. I would have said it for you. You could have kept moving. We could have been 30 seconds ahead of our schedule now. But no.
The trailer's awesome. Who else loved this trailer?
I did. I loved it. I loved it.
I thought it was weird that Hulk was having a full conversation in complete sentences. That was odd, but I can't decide if I like that or not. But the rest of it, just, it's glorious. Like, I've not been a big fan of the first two Thor movies, and it needed to go in a direction like this to get me on board. Because I love the character. I love Hemsworth's portrayal of the character, but the movies just kind of were just okay to me. This looks awesome. It's going to 11, and that is a Stranger Things reference right there.
Oh, boy. So the first two movies did a really good job of hamstringing Chris Hemsworth, because if you see him in some of his other stuff, he is actually a charming, fun actor to watch. But he wasn't fun or that charming as Thor. And in this, he's actually fun. It looks like they let him off the chain and let him be fun and be engaging and not be whatever he was doing before. And that's what makes me the most excited, with the exception of cute, adorable, talking Hulk. I love that too. So, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, kind of historically, Thor has not been exactly known for his sense of humor. Thor has been an arrogant, kind of a really spoiled brat who has got some pretty cool powers. So, you know, humor has not been the god of thunder and lightning's, you know, forte, so to speak. So I agree, like, okay, for two movies, we've done it. That's maybe not worked very well. Let's try something slightly different, and this works. But yeah, same as you guys, this movie just really, this looks fun as shit. I'm sorry.
And that poster just looks gloriously 80s colored. Oh, my God. It looks really good.
I hate the poster. Hate it.
Do you?
Hate it. I hate Marvel has the crappiest marketing department. Every one of their posters makes me just dry heave. It's just, I just don't like it. No. Love the trailer. Hate the poster. So
they should hire that Mondo guy or whoever it is that does those like alternative posters for some of these movies to do their movie posters, because that person's awesome.
I agree. Two quick bits of Marvel news and we'll move on. Michelle Pfeiffer's confirmed to be playing Janet Van Dyne, a.k.a. the first Wasp in Ant-Man 2. Oh. And we also got some Captain Marvel news, as Marvel confirmed by the directors Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck will be taking this film to the 80s, so it'll be before the first Iron Man. And the villain will be alien shapeshifters, the Skrulls, from the Alien Invasion comic.
Yes.
Is that good? Ooh, John.
I can just feel it now. I'm just excited.
So that's good.
Yes, it's good. Yes. And I got to see some of Andy Park's who's the concept artist for all of the Marvel stuff. I got to see some of his concept work for what she's going to look like and what's going to happen in this and what the Skrulls are going to look like. And I'm excited. So, yeah.
And if it's set back that far, it's also going to be before Fury lost his eye, right? So we're going to see how that happened.
Yeah, theoretically. Yes. Theoretically. Yeah. If they do it.
Is it the 80s? I thought it was the 90s.
I said 90s, didn't I? I thought I said 90s.
You said 80s.
No, you said 80s.
Well, I meant 90s. So.
Oh.
Well. I'm sorry. Yeah. My bad for not really knowing what you meant when you said 80s.
Okay. Well, just think back to like Nine Inch Nails and Stone Temple Pilots, that era. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Mm.
All right, Chumbawamba.
Two more on mine. Spawn. Todd McFarlane announced he has partnered with Blumhouse to make a Spawn movie. Yeah, we already had one of those, but he's going to make another one. He wants Spawn to be much more in the vein of Jaws, The Exorcist, or The Grudge, and that I love that The Grudge is in here, and that the entire world is grounded and real, and only one single element is supernatural, and that would be Spawn. He also talked a little bit about casting and reveals that Twitch will be one of the biggest characters in the movie, who, if you ever watched Spawn, he was a detective who was also a brilliant mathematician. I want to know, is it too late for Spawn?
No, he's still got a pretty big following in the comics.
Okay. I didn't know that. As far as I'm concerned, it was like a dormant franchise.
As I understood it, he's still pretty prevalent in the comics.
Okay, do any of you guys want a Spawn movie?
At the beginning of the cinematic part of this franchise, it was a great start, but they really kind of faded away with every iteration after that. The animated series, I don't know, I just think it really kind of lost a lot of its cinematic audience after that. So it was such a visually stunning property that I want to see more of it. Story-wise, I don't know, I need a little bit more depth. But visually speaking, this was a franchise that was, as far as the 90s goes, was one of my favorites.
Okay.
I'm kind of with you, Brian, because I didn't watch the original movie. I always wanted to, but it looked like demonic possession, so I didn't get a chance to watch it. And I've always been so curious about it because that character looks so interesting. I heard the movie was terrible, but I was like, how can it be terrible? The Spawn looks awesome. And I think I would have a better time watching this new version of it than going back to the well and watching the original. So I'm on board just out of curiosity, if nothing else.
I think they did a really good job with the cartoon on HBO and not the movie so much. The movie has the right look to it, but it didn't know what it wanted to be. It didn't know if it wanted to be dark or didn't know if it wanted to be PG-13. It tried to ride the line and did a really poor job at it. I don't know if I need to see this version of Spawn on the screen, though, because it's supposed to be Al Simmons. It's supposed to be his story about, you know, how he's trying to get back to his family. It's not supposed to be like a horror flick where he's killing everybody and you're following along with the people he's killing. I don't know how I'm going to connect with that, and I don't understand it, but if they're going to try to make it, I will check it out, but I don't know if I'm sold on the idea.
All right. Well, speaking of murder, let's move on to Jigsaw. That's the last one of mine. The trailer premiered at Comic-Con and is no longer called Saw Legacy. I think the most intriguing moment in the trailer is when the detectives reveal that Jigsaw's DNA was found under a victim's nails, which confuses them because the Saw killer has been dead for 10 years. However, there is a moment where it's kind of revealed that there might be a copycat killer on the loose. There's a lot of contraptions in this one. There's a wall of saws, which looks pretty cool, lasers, and something going on with a motorcycle. I don't know what that is. And we found out that Tobin Bell will be in here in some way, but Costas Mandalore and Kiri Elwes will not be in here. Jigsaw was written by Josh Stolberg and Pete Goldfinger, who also wrote Piranha 3D. So, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Got that going on.
But did you just mix James Bond and Fletch?
Yeah. No, it was, pretty much.
I might have. Put it on the Underhills.
You sang Goldfinger in the tone of Moon River.
Are you guys excited for more Saw? Do you want more Saw? I'm pretty excited.
I'm a little indifferent because I gave up on the Saw series after the third or fourth one, and I never so I have no idea where it left off or whatever. They just started to get ridiculous. But I don't know. It's hard to say, man, because I love the traps and I love everything, but I feel like every Saw movie I've seen has never topped the original. That the twist is really what made that movie and got me interested in the series more than just the torture porn that was going on in those movies. And they've just never been able to get quite to that level because we're kind of expecting it. Mm-hmm. I didn't really feel like I got enough from this trailer to show me something that I haven't already seen. So I'm not down and out, but I'm not 100% on board either. I'm kind of somewhere in the middle.
All right. Anybody else?
I can take it or leave it. And the reason why is that I like the franchise. I like everything about it. I just don't know if we really need to have this be brought back up again. There's so much room for so many other new things. Do we need Jigsaw?
Yeah, man. I like them. I like those movies. And I'll be honest, I stopped at four. I stopped at three. Originally, I stopped at three. And it was only, I bought the set probably 2 years ago and I never finished it. And I just, when I went camping, I took them all. I'm like, I'm finally going to finish Saw. I'm going to do it. And I did it. And I was glad I did. I thought, you know, it's actually a cool series. I enjoyed it. So yeah, I want more.
So it took you being out in the middle of the woods, literally dozens of miles from civilization, to sit down and watch these movies.
Yep.
So, all right, look, I know you've got a fairly personal relationship with the writer of a lot of these movies.
The director, Darren Lynn Bousman.
Director.
But he's not involved in this one at all.
I know, but that does tend to lend to maybe a certain amount of bias.
Maybe.
To the franchise in general.
I went in the woods. I enjoyed them. You know, it could have helped, but there's nothing else, literally nothing else to do. That could be a factor. Not going to lie. But
well, I got another question about this. Was this during the time you were mainlining True Crime podcast too?
Yes, it was. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So I think you were in the right frame of mind at the right time then. So
maybe that is. Maybe I just want people to die. Okay. I've already spoken of Amber Heard's character getting in a car accident. I mean, I'm cool with it.
I really like the fact that the word character is in quotation marks.
I don't want a suit of any kind. So yeah, character, the character. She's a fine person, I'm sure, in her soul, if she has one.
She can buy one.
She can now. All right. So that's all I got. Let's go to Brian's panel.
All righty then. So we're going to talk about some Marvel television, not the movies, but TV. We're going to start with The Inhumans, which got some laughs. I don't know if that was really planned. The Inhumans are opening in IMAX, which is an odd choice. It's going to be on ABC, but yet they are opening in IMAX. They're going to be showing the first one, I believe, two episodes on the super giant big screen, which is an odd marketing choice. From the accounts that I've read, the first one or two scenes in the episode, in the first episode, really kind of take advantage of the IMAX experience. However, after that, it kind of feels like you're watching TV. So there was a lot of kind of backlash with the Inhumans trailer that was released at Comic-Con. Personally, I liked it. I liked seeing Medusa's hair that was whipping around. Lockjaw is spot on to the comic book, which completely excited me. However, I don't know. People didn't really seem to kind of cling on to this, especially considering this is network TV. This isn't HBO. This isn't FX. This isn't AMC. This is ABC. This is as basic TV as you can get. So what did you think of this trailer?
So I have issues with it. And the reason why I have issues with it is because I like the character in Medusa. She's a really cool character. In every comic I've read about her, she's been awesome. The thing that I have an issue with is I don't think they pay her very good homage in this, because that's very clearly a wig that Serinda Swan is wearing. And they actually found a way to make someone as attractive as Serinda Swan unattractive. And it weirds me out. I just, I'm cautiously optimistic about the show, though, because I want it to work. I want this to work, and I want this to be something good. But so far, it just looks like a mess. It looks too TV-ish and not cinematic-ish enough, which too many new shows are doing more cinematic things to them. So I'm cautious about it.
I feel the same way. I have yet to find a comic book property on network television that I really liked a lot. I've gotten through maybe half of Gotham. I watched an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Just nothing grabs me, and I just feel kind of tainted by my lack of interest in it. And anything that I have watched has been on like Netflix or HBO or something like that. And I don't know. I just got too many other good things that I know are going to be good that I want to watch instead of potentially wasting my time on something like this.
Yeah, it's hard to get excited for it because it's on ABC and I don't like what they've done with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I won't have any interest. And plus, I have a hard time watching Anson Mount and not hearing Anson Mount. The guy's got a good voice. I want to hear it.
Yeah, that's actually kind of goofy that they chose him for that role. They could have gone with anybody else. Why not let him do it? It'll probably be a whole lot of like him face acting and then voiceover from him.
Mm-hmm. Anson Mount is a fantastic actor, and I think that his acting ability actually helps him portray the role of Black Bolt, who for the most part cannot speak. You know, if he does speak, he creates a crap ton of damage. So I think his acting skills lends towards selling this character. I am actually more hopeful about this property as far as network TV goes than I am any other property that's out there. So,
Okay.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. This is one of those that I'm wanting it to work so bad. Because it is different enough, but yet it is mainstream. It's kind of in that I think it potentially could very well be in that sweet spot for both different and mainstream and work for both areas. So speaking of kind of, well, I don't know, mainstream maybe, the Defenders are coming out later this year. We're looking at Friday, August 18th. All episodes will be dropped on Netflix. We're finally seeing the culmination of this last year to 2 years of Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage. So we're finally seeing them all together and all these little kind of subplots merging into one deal. So how do you guys feel about this culmination, so to speak, of Aaron? What do you think about this?
I'm excited. I love Jessica Jones. I like Daredevil. I didn't really get into Luke Cage, but I like Mike Coulter. So the one thing I have is Iron Fist. I just, he is not cool. He is lame. He is not exciting or interesting. So I have a hard time with it. I kind of enjoyed the show, but it was more for the other characters than it was for him. So I think he's the lame duck and he looks lame while he's fighting. So I'm excited for it. He's my reservation, really.
All right. Well, good deal. I don't know. Was anybody able to catch the little teaser for The Punisher?
I did not, but I am pumped for that. That's got to be great, right? It's got to be.
Yeah, and this I kind of agree. There was as far as the footage that I saw, it was really only just a few seconds. He pretty much had only one line, but he was wearing the armor, the kind of Kevlar stuff with the Punisher logo on the front, and finally we get to see him wearing it. You know, we got the little teaser at the end of Daredevil season 2, and you know, now he's just fully sporting it, and it looks awesome. He looks awesome. John Bernthal to me is one of those actors that I don't like him, but it's basically because he plays characters that you're not supposed to like. And the fact that he draws out this little disgust out of me every time I see him kind of feeds that. And to me, that is a credit to his acting ability, and that he can draw out that emotion out of me that, you know what, you're an a-hole, you know, and he may be the greatest guy on the planet. But as far as me watching him, he's just an a-hole. So
okay, I like a-holes, so I can't wait.
Yeah, you know, but it's one of those things to where I know that it's like, okay, you are that good of an actor to where you're drawing out this emotion out of me. So I'm going to give you your props for being a really good actor. I know it's not. I don't think there's an exact date that it's supposed to come out on Netflix, but it's anticipated as for November later this year.
Yeah, possibly. They said this year. Yeah, that'd be pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, yep. John Bernthal was actually the first person to get me to care about Punisher because he is one of my least favorite characters out of the Marvel Universe. I couldn't care. There's no way you can make me care any less about him. I don't like him. I don't like the idea that he kills. I don't like his whole mentality behind it. I don't like anything about the character. In case you missed it, I don't like the Punisher. I like John Bernthal's portrayal of him, and I suddenly care. I suddenly want to find out more. I suddenly wanted to study him because he was just so good for me. I liked it.
Yeah, for me personally, as far as the comic books goes, he was one of my favorite characters in the 80s, and I've got that nostalgia attachment to it. But admittedly, it's really kind of a one-trick pony type of character. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm pissed off because my family was killed. I'm going to take it out on anybody that's even resemblance of being bad. So, mm-hmm. Moving on. So we've got, I tell you what, we're going to go from we're going to go from Star Trek Discovery, which was, it's the CBS online version of, or new iteration of the Star Trek franchise that they're resuming. It's not really a rebooting or anything. It does take place, from what I'm gathering, before the Captain Kirk era. Does star Sinequa Martin Green from Walking Dead fame and Jason Isaacs, who you remember, he was I always remember him as the NASA scientist that was the one from Armageddon, but you know, this is Russian space station.
Mm-hmm. I think he's in Harry Potter, isn't he?
He is in Harry Potter. He was the Draco Malfoy's dad.
Dad, yep.
Draco. So that does come out September 24th. CBS is All Access, and I want to say at some point it's going to be on Netflix too, but I'm not sure if it comes out the same time on Netflix or if it's maybe staggered a little bit later. So all accounts, from what I was reading, it was getting very rave reviews, and it looks like they're really sparing no expense with the special effects, the characters, all that stuff. So it looks in the trailer I watched looked actually pretty good, and I haven't been excited about a Star Trek trailer in a while. I don't know about you guys, but
well, me, I've always been more of a Star Wars fan than a Star Trek fan, but I'm always down for more Star Trek. I wasn't a huge fan of the last movie, but I still will watch everything that comes out, whether it be movie or television series. So, and the fact that this is going back before Kirk, that even gets me a little bit more excited, because that's one of the cool things about the Star Trek universe, is that you can go anywhere in terms of time. And if the budget is as good as you're talking, Brian, I can't wait to see it. I will definitely be checking that out.
I'm just excited by the look of this whole thing, because if you were to tell me that this was going to be an online exclusive show for CBS, I would have never have bought it that the quality of show we're getting was going to be this. It's, you know, CBS online. It's not Netflix. It's not Amazon. I wouldn't have believed that this was what they're going to do. And it looks like something that would make me go and reactivate my CBS Now account just so I can watch the show. It's beautiful. It is nice to look at, and I'm kind of excited.
I've been waiting for a new science fiction show to hit, and I'm still waiting. So I'll skip this and wait for a cool one. Also, don't like Star Trek shows. So there.
Well, there you go. And that just, yeah. So,
I mean, unless Shatner's on it. I mean, you can't go wrong with Shatner. But I haven't, sure. I haven't enjoyed a single Star Trek show.
You can't. So, but we'll agree.
Shut your whore mouth. So, you cannot. Anyway, Shatner's the man.
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive. I do not enjoy those shows. I tried Next Generation. I tried Deep Six Me, whatever the hell that was. I tried all of them. Voyager. I'm sure there's a couple other ones. I just don't. It's not for me. It's totally not for me. I don't care about whatever is going on in that very, very solemn world. Very solemn.
All right. Well, I'm really glad that you're open-minded about it. So maybe this Orville, the title of the show is Orville.
Looks better. Looks better.
Yeah. It's actually put out by Seth MacFarlane, who has got his hands in just about everything these days, from Family Guy fame. So this is a live-action spoof, homage, whatever you want to call it. It is a sci-fi based comedy that is set 400 years in the future. But it really is more about it's almost kind of like Office Space meets Outer Space. It's kind of
Galaxy Quest.
Yeah. I mean, there are some Galaxy Quest elements. It's obviously a nod to Star Trek. There's a lot of influence from Star Trek. So, Jon Favreau, who directed Iron Man and The Jungle Book, he's directed the pilot, and it does drop. It opens up on September 10th, I believe. So I don't know. This trailer looks pretty funny. So, but I like Seth MacFarlane and his sense of humor, you know, pretty good. So
do you like that he keeps? I mean, he is determined to make himself a star. He really is. He's determined to be a lead actor on something.
Wouldn't you?
But, I was going to say, isn't everybody?
I mean, well, why are we doing this shit?
All right. All right.
Damn it.
Where's my movie?
Yeah. I think
it's time to go home.
I just want to point out that, Brian, you're taking just as long as John, and he's not giving you any grief. And I want to commend John. Nice job, John, because I would have been all over his shit for all the time he's taken, and he's given you so much grief for the time you took.
Yeah, I mean, he's only done two things, but I get it. It's fine.
Yeah, you know, rookies. You know, they know their
two.
You know, rookies know their place. It's actually been, four. Actually, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So there you go. Mm. You know, 2, 5. You know, he can't count. It's all right.
Everything kind of just runs together when you're talking that slow.
He's got to take his shoes off to count that high.
Well, back to Orville. I, for one, am really excited about this. Galaxy Quest is one of my most rewatchable comedies. I can pop that at any time and just laugh. And this one looks to be like a more irreverent version of that. And I think it looks hilarious. It's one of the few television commercials that I watch and I laugh when I see it. It just makes me happy and I can't wait to watch it. What about you guys?
I'm excited for something that's going to make me laugh and make me smile, because too much lately, you know, hey, you got to watch this really good show. Yeah, that's some depressing shit, yo. Yeah, but it's really good. Why does it have to be depressing, though? Let's just get some good comedies out there. And this looks like it's going to be it. I'm really excited to see it.
As much as I gave him grief, I love Seth MacFarlane. I think A Million Ways to Die in the West is freaking hilarious. I don't care what critics said. I like his comedy. I'll check it out. This looks far more interesting than whatever's going on in the Klingon War.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So moving on, we're going to go on to somebody who's got way more swag than, say, let's say, I don't know, William Shatner. We're talking about
you into the next bright universe. What? I don't know. Is it a universe? I don't know. Well, me about it.
I don't know. I don't know where the hell you're going with this.
I wasn't going anywhere. I'm sorry.
Yeah, obviously. So we're talking about Will Smith. He's got a movie coming out on Netflix December 22nd. It's called Bright. It's, if you're old enough and you remember it, you're probably, this may sound a lot like Alienation. I think you were kind of a big fan of that, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I mean,
I was too.
So this is a show called, the movie called Bright. It's set in modern day kind of a fantasy Los Angeles, where Will Smith plays just a kind of a standard beat officer, and he's paired up with this rookie cop who happens to be, and don't be racist, but he's an orc. Played by Joel Edgerton.
Is that what he is? He's an orc?
He's an orc.
I didn't know what the hell he was.
Right. Yeah.
Is it Uruk-hai?
Yeah, exactly. He looks like, yeah, he's an orc. He's like Lord of the Rings type, you know, Uruk-hai type stuff. Of course, so they're thrust into, of course, all these crazy, you know, scenarios with gang warfare and these one percenter elves that, so they track this case that involves a magical wand or something like that. I don't know. Who gives a shit? This looks batshit crazy, and it looks fun as hell, and just completely off the standard fare of regular movies. So this looks fun as shit to me, and I'm excited about it. What do you guys say? John?
God, Brian just sold the shit out of this movie, I think. I can't tell. You know what? I when I saw this trailer and it started breaking down for me, I really started to get excited because one of my favorite genres and books is the idea of contemporary fantasy or urban fantasy. So that's what this very much is. It's fantasy that's happening in our world right now, or a world very much like ours. So as you get where Harry Potter, a couple other things do the same thing. And this reminded me so much of Harry Dresden in the way of how those books play out that I just really got excited for the feel of it. I really think it's going to be cool. It's something that's going to be different and new for a movie, and I'm thrilled that Netflix is going to bring it to me first. So I'm happy for it, though.
I feel very much the same way. You were mentioning things like Harry Potter and that. I love those kind of genres as well. The one that I was thinking of was Fables. Like I know it's a comic book series or a graphic novel. I love that.
Do you read those?
No.
The
reason I'm familiar with them is because I play the video game adaptations of them, but I wasn't going to bring it up. So. Anyway, I'm also a fan of bringing that kind of stuff to modern day reality. And I even though I didn't watch it, I do remember Alien Nation. And I was sitting here thinking, and I could not think of another show that did that in the cop version. Although there was one where like the cop partner was like an android a couple years ago that didn't do very well. It lasted like half a season or something. I can't remember what that was called.
It was actually a really good show, too. I can't write it. It's escaping me, too. But it was a good show.
But even this looks way more cinematic and just a lot more going on, and we've got an actor that I love. Everything about this is just yes, and Netflix is just knocking so many things out of the park lately, and I love it. I can't wait to see it.
I'm in agreement. It's Will Smith, man. I love Will Smith, and it looks like it's Will Smith fun Will Smith, so I'm on board. I didn't know it was an orc though. I thought it was an alien. I'm like, this is, I even said to, I don't remember who it was, I said to somebody, man, that's Bright looks cool, but it's totally a ripoff of Alien Nation. And now it's Orc Nation. I didn't know. My bad. All right. Well, you know what? Let's go to what our listeners think. That's all for Brian's panel, whether he knows it or not. So let's go to our listener panel where they decided on what the top five was. Now, this is based on, we asked our Facebook group, you know, what did you guys get excited about from Comic-Con? And our top five, you guys ready? In order. Number five. Ready Player One, they were most excited about Ready Player One. Or they were number five most excited. Number four, Westworld. Number three, Justice League. Number two, Thor Ragnarok. And number one, the most exciting thing from Comic-Con, according to our listeners, was Stranger Things Season 2. Yeah. And you know what didn't make the top five? Avengers Infinity War. That surprised me a little bit.
Do you think that would be different if they actually got to see the trailer?
I think that matters. Yeah.
You know, I wonder if it's more like, because when it comes to the like Avengers and Star Trek or not Star Trek, but Star Wars, I don't really consider those because those are to me DNA things that I'm going to go watch, meaning that there's no doubt I'm going to watch it. So I look at other things and get more excited about that because it may surprise me. It may be something new, and that's what I get excited about. And not so much the stuff that I know I'm going to watch no matter if I'm excited or not.
Okay. I got you. It makes sense. Yeah. Well, before we go to what's this movie, we're going to real quick thank our Patreon supporters. And I want to say if you go to patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider, patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider, we do have quite a few cool things in there, a lot of bonus episodes, and you get early access to some reaction podcasts. I want to welcome new supporter Wayne Edwards. Thank you, Wayne, so much for contributing, as well as welcome new VIP member Ashton Green. And Ashton, you get to pick a topic of your choosing and should have an email and go to sign into your Patreon, and you will actually see a message from us asking us what your topic or Battle Royale would like to be. And or you can have us watch a movie like Philip Thompson did for this week. Our July bonus episode is up, and Bad Movie Night will drop on the 30th. It is ready to go. So I hope you guys enjoy that. Scott, let's go to What's This Movie?
All right. Each week we pick a movie suggested by either a host or a listener. The person has the option to either play a clip, offer you a What Am I, a riddle, limerick, haiku, or they could even reenact a famous quote from their movie. If you think you know what the movie is, you can email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com or through the contact tab in the app, and we'll give you a proper host shout-out on the next episode. Last week's clip was Aaron's pick, and that movie was Return of the Living Dead.
Send more cops.
Those that guessed it correctly were Manuel Perez, Craig Schermerhorn, and Tommy Lynch. This week, it's Brian's chance to confuse us all, so here is your clue.
You weren't expecting me?
I was expecting you soon in your message this afternoon.
Well, it takes a bit for me to get around these days. He's taken everything from me. My wife, my career, now you.
What do you mean you sent me?
I sent you to steal his secret, not to improve his act.
It's my job.
Or to fall in love with him.
I did everything you asked.
Yes? Yes? Then how does he do it?
Cutter was right. He uses a double.
Of course Borden said that.
Didn't say anything. I've seen things. Makeup, glasses, wigs. We don't use any of it for the show, but I've seen it hidden backstage.
It's misdirection. He leaves those things lying around to make you think he's using a double.
All the time. He doesn't know when I'm looking.
All the time, Olivia.
Okay, now we got a couple spoiler-free reviews to get to. We'll try to keep a couple of them pretty quick. But this one Brian and I saw, it's called Atomic Blonde. Agent Lori Broughton is who Charlize Theron plays, and she's a spy. She's a very sexy spy, obviously. And she goes into Berlin to deliver a priceless dossier, and she partners with the station chief, who's played by James McAvoy, to kind of navigate her way through a deadly game of spies. And she's trying to find out who's behind what. And that's what the movie's about. So what did you think about Atomic Blonde? I'm sorry if I cut you off.
Nah, it's fine. So, it was one of those movies that I liked very well, but not, I wouldn't say it's one of the best movies of the year type of deals. It was intriguing. It kept you engaged. There was some good action. But for the most part, it was one of those to where I would probably wait for DVD or cable.
I think I liked it more than Brian. Charlize, I think, is phenomenal. I mean, I think we can both agree. She was phenomenal.
Oh, totally. In the movie. Yeah, totally.
I was expecting her to do well. I mean, you kind of expect her to do well. In the ass-kicking department, she's very much a female John Wick, though it's a little more hand-to-hand than it is gun ballet. So it's rough and tumble, and she's cold, she's ruthless, she's cunning, and she's very meticulous with her movements. I got to give her credit. I mean, it's choreographed extremely well. McAvoy I thought was entertaining, but I don't really think he did much to add to anything. For me, the movie is mostly a blast. I think the action scenes are what people are going to talk about, and those are phenomenal. They are visceral, they're intense. It's in between them, though. The movie's very meandering. It feels like it takes a while to get to anywhere. And I think movies like this, Brian, tell me if you agree with me. I think movies like this take a hit in the pacing department because they're high octane action for like 10 minutes. And then you got 30 minutes of intrigue and setup that's not very involving. And
it doesn't pay off as big as you hope it does later.
Right. Exactly.
And you're right. And the more intriguing part about the action is the behind the scenes stuff that you find out later. Like the infamous staircase battle that you see was all filmed in one shot, and it took them like, I want to say something like 16 takes or something to do. Mm-hmm. So when you're watching that scene, think about doing that 15 to 20 times over and over and over again before you finally get it, you know, to what the director says is right. And that's the amazing part, because it is a badass scene. It completely is. It's one of the best action scenes in the last, you know, probably 10 years. And the fact that it took them, you know, whatever, 15 to 20 times to get it right is amazing. And it was all in one shot. And the choreography and the logistics of that is amazing. But again, that's, you don't catch that when you're watching the movie in itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, because the actual movie slows down dramatically.
Yeah.
When it, there's no action. I mean, and you can make it intense. You can keep it riveting if you keep the narrative flow moving. You keep it cracking. It just didn't feel like it popped when the action wasn't going on. And it's no fault to Charlize. I mean, it's totally just either the script or the direction. But I still enjoyed it. If $10 is a full price permission, I would give it $6.50. I think it's cool to see it on the big screen just for the action scenes. But I don't be surprised if you don't love it. You just like it. It's not as good as John Wick, which just keeps getting
I would agree. I would give it the exact same score for maybe slightly different reasons, but I would definitely agree. You know, the $6.50 is a fair score. It is an entertaining movie, but you're going to definitely downshift the pacing quite a bit throughout that viewing.
All right. Well, let's go on to Valerian. John, you saw Valerian, so give us that.
All right, so what is probably like the weirdest movie that we've had this summer, which has people loving it or hating it, and some people just liking it, is Valerian. So Major Valerian and Sergeant Loreline are tasked with recovering a one-of-a-kind object and returning it to the city of Alpha, which is a city of 1,000 planets. It's kind of a giant space station in the middle of nowhere. When they get there, they discover that there's a menace threatening the inhabitants of Alpha with a darkness at its core. So the story is simple. It's got your usual MacGuffin thing you have to play with, but they do a really neat thing to it, and I really enjoyed what they ended up doing. I'm not going to tell you or hint at it, but they did a good job with the story itself. Unfortunately, there was some meandering side story to it, and they didn't really serve anything to help us endear ourselves to our characters that were following along. And things that was supposed to look like flirting and joking back and forth and bits of chemistry ended up looking more like jibs and jibes and a whole lot of quibbling. It just wasn't cute. It didn't help it. And this story really needed two people with much, much more chemistry and much more charisma at its center to make that work. But the movie is a visual marvel. I mean, really, if you look at everything that you see on screen, it is gorgeous. They pulled so much of it from the actual comic, which for those who don't know, the comic for this was created in 1967, I believe. So it's before our Star Treks, it's before our Star Wars, and it's before a whole lot of other movies that probably grabbed a lot of their inspiration from this specific comic. And they really held true to it. It also has a lot of Luc Besson's personal touches, his use of color, the way he likes to see some patchwork design for armor and whatnot. It's got a nice feel to it as far as that goes. But at the end of the whole movie, I spent so much time thinking about who I would have rather have seen in these roles. And that's what took me out of it the most. It would have been so much of a better movie if the two stars had much more charisma to them. So if $10 is full price of admission, it's a $6.50 for me.
All right. And that leads us to our Patreon request, which is Philip Thompson is a VIP member. And he said, you know what? I want you guys to watch Sukiyaki Western Django. And we did. It's about a revolver wielding stranger who crosses paths with two warring clans who are both on the hunt for a hidden treasure in a remote Western town. Knowing his services are valuable to either side, he offers himself to the clan who will offer up the largest share of the wealth. Now, I want to tell you, it's from the director of Ichi the Killer and Audition, and he just basically decided to take a Japanese take on a Western. It was very like a spaghetti Western take, and it's interesting because it is in English. You can watch it in English, and
I asked you if we were going to turn on the subtitles or whatever, and you're like, no, it's in English, and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I assumed this is going to be a subtitled movie. I kind of wish we had watched it subtitled, to be honest with you.
You can tell.
Well, that's not even dubbed. That wasn't even dubbed. That was just an English acting version of it where all the actors are doing the same thing they did for the Japanese version. Yeah.
And you can tell, in my opinion, you can tell that none of those Japanese actors can speak English. They were given those lines because they don't know where to emphasize on the words or on syllables or anything. So you can tell like they were given this dialogue right before they were supposed to shoot. And like, say it like this. And they're just like sounding it out phonetically. And that's where it's crazy. Well, it's crazy.
Not only that, but I'm 90% convinced that all of the dialogue in this movie was 80 yard. because I swear on multiple occasions I watched and what was coming out of their mouth did not match up with their mouth movement on multiple occasions. And whether that was done intentionally, because you know how like a lot of when movies are dubbed and the English version will stop talking and the character's mouth will keep moving. Mm-hmm. I kind of get the impression the director wanted to give that feeling in this movie, because it really did not feel like the characters were actually saying those lines as they were being said. Is that a possibility? You would know better than I would, Aaron, because that's what it felt like.
I didn't see it that way. I didn't see the miscues like you did, so I didn't notice them as much. If they were there, I didn't notice them.
Okay. I didn't notice it either, and I was really looking for it, because at first I was like, wait, is this dubbed? And then I started noticing more and more that everything was lining up. So I felt like that the only person who was probably on a different speaking tone than their actual mouth movements was Quentin Tarantino.
Really?
Yeah. He was the only one that felt like he was doing something different. It was really weird, especially like when he changes his voice and he's telling the story. I don't understand. Yeah. Before he shoots those guys, he does this whole like thing, and it's just weird.
I think he finally found a movie where his bad acting works out.
Yeah. No, that's true too.
Did you see the sign out front of my front porch?
Yeah.
Did you like him in Pulp Fiction?
He didn't say that. No. Not in acting wise. No. He's not a good actor. He's not.
I think where it stood out for me the most was in some of the action sequences. Like there's one point where a character is wielding a Gatling gun. And he's screaming while he's doing it. And it just feels like it just did not feel natural. It didn't look natural. I don't know. Maybe
it looked like a cartoon. And I think it's designed to look like a cartoon, especially in those fight scenes. It's designed to look like an anime.
Mm-hmm.
I love the outfits. Outfits are very, it's like West Side Story almost in terms of the warring clans. And I almost felt like they were going to burst into song at any minute. And they have like,
it was like red and whites.
Yeah, it's red and whites. And I thought the leaders of both sides were ridiculous yet charismatic. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was just insane, but I really had a great time. The action is so over the top, so bonkers, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it too. I really loved the fact that the grandma was the badass.
That was so cool.
Let's talk about Asian women and how they age real quick.
Let's not.
Yeah.
Let's not. That'll probably go nowhere good. I don't think any. Let's talk about Ming. What's that girl from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? She's like 50 and looks like she's 20.
My point exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, but when they get ugly, it's very quick.
Oh, here we go.
Just saying. They extend out that beauty for a freakishly long amount of time, but once it hits hard and it hits fast.
I'm sure glad we didn't go there.
I'm glad.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks, Brian, for being here.
Hey,
thanks for taking that bullet.
Hey, you went down that road.
Are you already drunk?
No, not yet. I'm waiting until we do the freaking 10-year thing by the time we're done with this podcast and before I start drinking.
Anyway, I really enjoyed it. I think it was a blast. I did. There was a couple turns even where I didn't see him coming. One with the mother. I don't want to say any more than that, but I didn't expect that turn. And it really changed the movie up somewhat for me, because I'm like, oh, so all right, we twisted it up a little bit. I really enjoyed the movie. It's Philip, thanks for making us watch it. I mean, so far we're batting a pretty good average with listeners requesting we watch something that ends up being really enjoyable. Now it is crazy. I mean, it's not mainstream in any way, shape, or form, but it's good.
Well, yeah. I'm going to be honest. I was not a huge fan. It's bizarre. Calling it bizarre isn't doing it justice. This is a weird movie, and I appreciate that it's been done, especially because for fans of like the spaghetti westerns and some other foreign films, it's just not for me. And I really suffered through a lot of this. No offense. I'm not disappointed I watched it, but it's not one I'll ever want to watch again. But that's also me, and I'm in the minority.
Yeah, you are in the minority. I really dug it. I was actually pissed when I realized that I might have had to read another movie, and I mean, I would have forgotten half what I would have watched if I had to do that. I can't even tell you what happened in that one movie with the exception of those wonderful little scenes that happened. But in this movie, I was happy that I could watch it in English. It was a lot of fun. It reminded me of a lot of the stuff that I grew up on, because when you grow up in a third world country, you get a lot of these types of movies to watch. And this was just right up there with them. And it made me feel at home. And it was good. And I loved it. It really was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, if $10 full price admission, I would give it $6. Scott?
$4.
John?
$6.50.
Okay. Well, you had to just go up 50 cents. That just makes you special. All right.
Whatever. Well, yeah. I mean, I had to be a little bit better than you.
I saw Girls Trip. Regina Hall, Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Tiffany Haddish is the last review. Stars four college friends getting together after years of not hanging out, and they call themselves the Flossy Posse. Flossy means stylish or fancy, Scott, just to let you know. They're all grown up, and they're living their lives as adults now. Regina Hall's character, Ryan, is a successful author who is working on a huge deal with her husband in New Orleans. So she gathers the posse for a weekend of debauchery. Some conflicts arise between friends, and then the girls learn that Ryan's husband might not be the man they thought he was. He's also Mike Coulter, by the way. So if you big Luke Cage fan, you might go just for that. I haven't laughed this hard this often in I don't know how long. I freaking love this movie. Comedies usually aren't my favorite big screen thing to do, just because if they aren't clicking from the jump, I feel like it's hard to get on board afterward. And you spend a lot of money to go to the movies, so I try to be cautious with the comedies I'm going to see. And thankfully, Girls Trip has Tiffany Haddish. This woman is so funny. I was smacking my knees. I did that a few times. I cried at least twice. She's absolutely hysterical. She's the real deal. And at first glance, she's kind of playing the stereotype of loud black woman. And she's hysterical at that. But every stereotype has a little bit of truth to it. And where she shines is when you realize she took that role from a caricature into a character by infusing a lot of heart and a loyalty to her that I think still makes her very hilarious, but also very endearing and sweet. I loved her. It's a breakout role for her. I hope some great things come her way. Everybody else is great. Jada Pinkett Smith hasn't aged a day, literally hasn't aged a day. She sold her soul to Tom Cruise's God, and she hasn't aged a day. Queen Latifah, still an actress that deserves a lot stronger work than she normally gets. And it was nice to see Regina Hall play the responsible one. I think she's always playing a comedic role. I mean, she's always the comedic element. And here, she's given a lot more to do. And Lorenz Tate's in the house. So I'm a big Lorenz Tate fan. He hasn't been in a lot for a long time, so it was really cool to see him doing something on the big screen that's actually getting a lot of attention. And if you saw Best Man Holiday, it's the same director, Malcolm Lee. It's just as funny. This is the best comedy so far this summer. I fell in love with these women, especially Tiffany Haddish. If $10 is the full price of admission, I give it $8. I loved it. Boom.
I need to see that.
Dumb. Dun, dun, dun. I'm
so flossy.
All right. Now we're going to try and we're going to. Whoa. Okay. So we're going to pretend that never happened. That's what we're going to do. And it's going to be a special place. We're going to put it in the vault, and we're never going to talk about it again. When Scott's saying, I'm so flossy or fancy. I don't know what you just did.
Did you say flossy meant fancy?
I think so. But John, let's talk about what's coming out. Now, we're not going to do a discussion this week. We're just going to real quick give our pick on what we want to see, just because we got to get to something else.
All right. So we already talked about Atomic Blonde, the Emoji Movie. An Emoji unlocks a never before seen secret world in your smartphone. Yay. It stars T.J. Miller, James Corden, Anna Faris, Maya Rudolph, and Stephen Wright, which Stephen Wright makes me the most interested in that. And then we have an inconvenient sequel, Truth to Power. So a decade after an inconvenient truth brought climate change to the heart of a popular culture comes the follow-up that shows us just how close we are to real energy revolution. Al Gore. Done.
Done. All right. My pick, Atomic Blonde.
I'm going to Atomic Blonde.
I want to see the Emoji Movie. I think it looks really funny.
Whatever. Atomic Blonde. I'll pay to see it again.
And he didn't even like it.
Yeah. Well, he liked
No, see, there you go. Yeah. There you go.
Didn't like it enough.
If I didn't like it enough, then you don't like it at all. That's horse shit, and we should get out of that mentality.
Yeah, yes. Brian. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tomato, tomato.
No, he's right.
No, no. It's right, and you're just absolutely batshit wrong.
Scotty, what's coming out on video on demand?
First one is Strange Weather, which comes out on July 28th, a poignant lyrical drama about a mother who, in an effort to deal with the grief over the death of her son, travels the back roads of the Deep South to settle a score. A story of grief and forgiveness, of looking inward to find a way to move forward. This one stars Holly Hunter and Carrie Coon, who you might recognize from The Leftovers. Next up is Person to Person, which also releases on the 28th. This follows a variety of New York characters as they navigate personal relationships and unexpected problems over the course of one day. Michael Cera stars in that one, as, along with some other actors that I did not recognize, unfortunately. And lastly, The Mason Brothers, which comes out on August 1st. August 1st.
Oh, Colin Firth's in it?
No.
August 1st.
Nowhere near it.
A group of outlaws attempt to reveal their brother's killer from a neighboring gang after being set up during a bank heist. And that's it.
The Mason Brothers, you know, looks good.
You're forgetting that was brought to us by the visionary director, Keith Sutliff. You guys know what he's done, right?
No. What's he done?
No.
Nothing.
Okay.
I don't know why they had to put that in the trailer, was visionary director, but okay.
He has vision. He saw it. It's right there.
I guess so.
Mason Brothers. The Mason Brothers. All right. And before we wrap this show up real quick, any last minute recommendations or things you didn't get to talk about you want to mention real quick that you saw?
I got a few real quick. I did get a chance to watch Free Fire, which you guys raved about in the theater. I caught it this week. And that was a holy cow. A lot happened in that movie. It's hard to keep up. I think Brie Larson was my favorite character in that thing. She was just awesome to watch. Mm-hmm. But I didn't love it quite as much as you guys, but I do appreciate it. I'm glad I watched it. The one I really want to recommend is an HBO documentary called Tickled, which is bizarre as it sounds. And I'm not gonna spoil what happens completely, but just trust me, you need to watch it. It starts out as this guy that is a New Zealand journalist that he covers like bizarre stories, and he finds out that there's this competition that people take part in, where they see how long they can last being tickled while being tied down, which is crazy, right? Mm-hmm. But that story gets darker and darker. And when you find out what's actually going on, it is completely messed up and just really leaves you feeling icky all over by the time it's done. So highly recommend that one. And then
where can you find that? Is it on Netflix or is
HBO?
It on
HBO Go?
HBO Go, okay.
Yeah, I think that's becoming my favorite thing to watch, are these documentaries about real life twisted things that are happening, because I finally took Aaron's advice and also watched Mommy, Dead, and Dearest, which did you reveal what that was about or?
Nope, I don't want anyone to know. Go into that thing cold.
Yeah, just don't even read about it, what's going on in that movie. Just watch it. It is so messed up and so sad. But that sounds terrible to say. Go watch it. But it is insane what that's about. So those are my three.
Anybody else? John, Brian, you guys have anything?
I started watching the first episode of Ozarks the other night. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful show. And it's amazing. It's awesome. It was only the first episode and I'm floored by it. I don't know if I'm going to keep on watching it, though, because I mentioned this earlier. I want happy. And you don't get to feel happy watching this show at all.
Wow. All right.
There's a ringing endorsement.
Sounds good. Brian, is there anything you want to mention that you've checked out?
You know, it was, it's been out for a couple of years already, but it is on Netflix. And if you've got the upgraded version of Netflix, there is with the Ultra HD stuff, it's freaking gorgeous. But it's the Cosmos series with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Freaking glorious and smart and, you know, you actually get something out of it if you're paying attention to it. So I'm probably about 8 episodes into it at this point and enjoying every minute of it. And, man, this was a much bigger surprise. It was just one of those – I think I turned it on just to have some noise on while I ate some lunch or something. And then I ended up kind of doing a halfway binging type of deal. So that was kind of a pleasant surprise that I stumbled upon. I mean, I knew it was there, but it was not exactly high on my priority list, so to speak. So, yeah, check it out.
All right. Well, I think you heard all mine, so we can move on. Now we're going to go ahead and wrap this part of the show up. I do want to mention an iTunes review that we had from AVP Susie. I want to read it because it's a new Apple Podcast review. Please leave us one if you can. I'll be very quick. I started listening to this podcast last year during Oscar season because I was new to podcasts and I wanted one that was dedicated to film, and I came across this one. And the first episode I listened to was the best of the Battle Royales from 2016. That was a fun one. I believe I was hooked after that. These guys obviously don't take themselves too seriously, new, and are nowhere
near
pretentious like a lot of other film podcasts be. You know, you want me to name them, Dave Chen? I joined their Facebook group a couple weeks after I started listening, and it's the only group that I make sure to check a couple times a day because the community is so welcoming and everyone is very involved, especially the hosts. Thank you, Aaron, John, and Scott, for giving such an enjoyable podcast every week. I'll continue to be a loyal listener for as long as you'll have me. Thank you. That was great. Much appreciated.
Very nice.
And reviews do help the podcast, so if you have time, please do it. But we'd rather go to podcastawards.com right now and vote for the show. People's Choice TV Film. Let it happen. Please join our Facebook group, The Hollywood Outsider. We're also available on Twitter at BuyPopcorn. Hang tight. We're going to have our discussion on our 6th anniversary, short and sweet, but we want to kind of talk about that. But for people that don't give a rat's ass, we're going to let you go. So find other episodes, reviews, and other info at TheHollywoodOutsider.com. Emails, feedback at TheHollywoodOutsider.com. And remember to grab the hole in the go with our Apple or Android app, Spotify, or subscribe. Thank you so much for listening. I do want to say one more time, please go to Podcast Awards, the last chance to give us a hand and vote for us. And also The Gaming Outsider for Games and Hobbies, and Remake This Movie Right for Entertainment. If you're looking for other options, please do that. Thank you guys for being here. And remember, the next time you head into the theater, buy popcorn. Okay, happy 6th anniversary, you sons of bitches. What's going on? It is 6 years, and I guess to explain this, it is the 6th anniversary of The Hollywood Outsider as a podcast. As a website and other stuff, it's been around a lot longer. But in terms of the podcast, this week marks our 6th anniversary, and the 1 year anniversary of one mofo leaving the show and bailing to go on to whatever he's been rocking it. What's that? That's you. We're talking about you.
Yeah, I know. It took me a second.
So let me ask you, Brian, since we'll start, I guess, start your way. We're just basically, this is very casual. Just say what you want. Be who you want. never stopped you. Yeah. You've been away from the show for the better part of the last year. Do you ever miss it much? And what are the pros and cons of leaving? Give me the temptation to walk away.
Oh, wow. Let's see. Yes, there's a lot of yes and a lot of no's in this. There's a, it's what people don't understand is the preparation that goes involved in that is involved in this, in doing a podcast in general, not just this one. Pretty much if you're doing any podcast at all, there is a certain amount of preparation that's involved. For Aaron, there's a lot more than the rest of us. We're me, Scott, and John, and any other host that's involved in this. Is more of a reactionary type of thing. Aaron sends us the rundown. We have some discussions beforehand, but for the most part, he sends us the rundown, and we focus on the parts that we're responsible for and go from there. So, but that being said, depending on what you want to bring for your segment, that kind of dictates what sort of preparation that you have to do. So. There's things that I don't miss. That's the sound checks, the sound quality issues, whether it be on my part or Skype's fault or whoever else, whatever other source there is. Mm-hmm. I don't miss any of that. I do miss the fun that we've had tonight. You know, that's always been a, I mean, that's what kept me around for 5 years out of these 6. So there's a lot there. It's a bittersweet thing, but obviously I like it and I miss it to a certain extent to where I am willing to come back for these little occasions. So.
Oh, I'm glad you come back, and you do hit it just like Viagra. I mean, you come back and then you're gone for a little bit, and you come back and you're gone for a little bit, and it's
really
it's
what I'm doing here is I'm politicking for this favorite host poll that is on the Facebook.
That's what you're doing. Now.
That's what I'm doing. I'm politicking. It's got nothing to do with how much I want to be here. It's really about, you know what, I want to win that poll. And right now, I am a little bit behind. I'm in second place. But you know what? In a way, that is a victory. So, you know, if I don't take first place, that's fine. As long as I stay in second place, I'll be happy with that. And for a part-timer, that's pretty freaking awesome. Just saying.
For those that aren't aware what the hell he's talking about, in the Facebook group, we're taking a poll on who your favorite all-time host is. We mean permanent host, not guest host, because I couldn't in good conscience make anybody feel bad that's been a guest. So only people that have committed to the show do I think it's worthy to make them feel horrible about themselves. Speaking of John, amazing. You're coming up on a year. What's it been like for you to jump on board a podcast? I mean, because now you've got some time. I think you probably had an idea, a little bit of what was involved, but now you've got a lot more idea. How does it feel for you?
This is a lot of work, and I dig it. You know, I really like the amount of prep I get to put into this, and I really think that when I first came on, Scott and Aaron sat me down and said, "Hey, this is going to be a lot of work." I said, "So." And they're like, "You don't understand. It's going to be a lot of work." I said, "Okay." And they weren't lying. It is a lot of work, but I'm the kind of person who lives for his stuff that he does outside of work. So I live for my hobbies, and this is a perfectly great one. Well, I guess it's a hobby, you know, whatever. I started drinking, so don't mind me.
me too. We're all drinking now. Yeah. So just, so you know.
Yeah. It's been a perfectly great hobby that I get to look forward to. The weeks that I have a terrible week and the podcast is something that helps me charge back up. It helps me get through the rest of my week. This is of course, it means that Tuesday nights or whenever we end up recording is the apex of my week, and it's downhill from there. But it's good. It's a nice high. I enjoy doing the prep work. I enjoy the creativity that it takes to do this, and I enjoy the banter back and forth. Aaron and Scott are officially the two bitches I talk to the most, and it's kind of weird because I've only seen Aaron in person four times.
Yeah,
yes, I think four times.
I didn't count it. You know, it wasn't like I didn't notch it out on my bedpost or anything, but it feels right. Yeah, feels good.
Yeah. And I haven't seen Scott in person yet. He saw my wife before he saw me.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Oh, it's a different story. Sorry.
So
save that for the Patreon episodes. Yeah,
this right. is where Scott should go, mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been a great ride. I love feeling like I'm doing something creative, and this has been exactly with that for me. It helps me get to the other things that I do, my artwork, whether I'm doing that or I'm flying a mini quad, which takes creativity also. I mean, this has been awesome for me, and I really do appreciate this podcast. I appreciate our listeners for putting up with me, because I know I'm a loopy weirdo, and I kind of lean into it every now and again with boxes of flies and shit like that. So, yeah, it's good. I love it. That's all I got.
All right. Now we go to Scotty.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is even more special for you and I, because Brian quit. I don't know if you guys heard, but Brian quit. he's kind of like, if you have a job, everybody's got a job, and like things get tough, right? And you know, the deadline's on, and the boss is like, you got to hit it by the 30th. And this motherfucker quits on the 26th. That's what Brian is right now. But thankfully John came in on the 29th, and he, you know, he bailed us out. So it all worked out. But Scott, how do you feel knowing that we've been on this ride, complete, because we didn't quit for 6 years straight?
You're just going to keep driving that point home, aren't you?
I mean, you know,
quitters. Which is amazing, because Scott, no, let's let me emphasize your point. In the early stages of this podcast, the safe money was on Scott to bail out within like 3 months tops.
We had a bet.
Tops.
It Did was you like, really have a bet?
Yeah, we had a bet.
There's no way Scott's lasted more than like 2 months out of this.
So no. Who won?
Well,
none of us.
We both lost.
Or did you?
Scott will get bored with this after like 6 weeks, and there will be like five listeners, and three of them or four of them will be our moms, and then, you know, there'll be that one person who does download, but apparently that one download did kind of spread the word pretty well. So
I have no idea what Brian just said right now.
I don't either, but I get it. I still understood it. That's the thing. I still understand it. It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Rookies, you know, yeah, you know.
You learn Brian's language after podcasting with him for 5 years.
All right. I'm glad it's a learned practice then.
It is. Yeah. It's very much. No, we used to joke about it it was all funny in the early stages. Because Scott, you know, he would tell us every week, I haven't seen as many movies as you guys. When we know, it's like the comics. We get it. But
I didn't see that one as a kid, but I didn't see that till much later after it was, you know, the way later than normal when it was less popular.
But the cool thing
listening to the show, that was every other phrase Scott said. Yes,
it was. Scott loves to apologize before anybody has accused him of anything. That's Scott's nature.
I'm sorry about that. I'll work on it.
I'll play it.
Just do a little research, Scott. It'll
be just awesome. Do your Aaron impression. That's all you got to do. Just
my Aaron impression?
Yeah, lean into everything.
Hey, dude, slice your
Anyway, it would be really funny because week after week. He wouldn't know what the hell we were talking about, especially the first like year or two. He really started to catch up. Like he put in a lot of movie time. And then every once in a while, he would make a really obscure movie reference. And Brian and I and Justin would be like, what the fuck did he just, what? Where did Scott get that one? He's like, I saw that one movie this weekend. Really? God damn, Scott. I'm impressed. And then it just went on from there. But yeah, we kind of thought you'd definitely failed by now, but you outlasted everybody.
What's funny is I was actually talking to you about taking a hiatus for a while last summer.
Right.
Because I was going to coach cross country and
everybody quit.
Up and left.
Everybody quit.
And I was like, well, I can't really do that now. So we just kept right trucking through and I'm still here. So
did you ever secretly say, you know, fuck that guy, you know, maybe a little bit?
It like says it every other week, I think.
Yeah, but I'm not going
to
say
no to Brian.
To whom I was referring.
No, I meant to Brian, like when he left.
Oh,
and you're like,
I'm sorry. I thought he meant to you.
I mean, because he's here, so it's a good time for confrontation, especially if you're drinking.
No, I didn't, because I understood it. Okay. I understood why he had to go, so I didn't hold any ill will towards Brian.
Very cool. So what do you think? I mean, it's been 6 years. What do you think about? And by the way, we did invite Justin. He's got some stuff going on, so he's not going to make it. So what did you think about 6 years straight?
Well, first off, it kind of struck me as bizarre that it's been 6 years. I know we obviously talk about this every year on the anniversary that, hey, we finally hit this milestone, but 6 years is a long time. And I mean, we're going to, before you know it, it's going to be like half of the time that I've known you is going to be podcast time. You know what I mean? It's just, it's insane. I mean, you and I have known each other for 17 years and this whole thing started with your website, The Hollywood Outsider. And, you know, talking on the forums on that and finally pushed you to do a podcast. And so we did a game podcast, which is funny to me that I got you into podcasting by doing a game podcast with you, which cracks me up. But
yeah. Cause I wouldn't be able to hold my own on that for sure anymore.
But it's amazing how much this has grown in that time. I mean, if you go back and listen to those early episodes, we were still trying to figure out the sound and even where we were recording was completely different. I used to go to your house every once a week and record in your studio. And now we've matriculated to doing this all over internet, which is a much easier on my time budget. And, that and just how much the Facebook group has grown and just the opportunities that we've had to get some screeners and meet some people from the industry and talk to people from the industry with interviews. It's just amazing that I feel like I'm a part of it and I'm proud to be a hoe.
I honestly am like shocked it's still going on to be perfectly honest. Last year was really, really hard. I mean, from a personal level in terms of the show, we just had so many things going on. Everybody, it felt like that was the year. If the podcast was going to stop, it would have been last year, just because so many things happen. I mean, Brian decided to retire. Justin had a lot of personal stuff going on. Scott's started for his master's degree. I had a lot of personal stuff going on. Like everybody had things going on. We're like, I don't know if we can keep doing this at the level that we've done it. I mean, you hit a certain level, and grant, I mean, we're not Hollywood Reporter or anything, but we're successful. We're a successful podcast, and that is something to be proud of. And it's definitely something you don't want to give up. But it's also, I mean, it does take a toll. There's a lot of time involved. There's a lot of work involved. And I definitely know that people, I can't tell you how many people you tell you do podcasts. Oh, you just like wake up and do that shit at your house like for a couple hours and you're done, right? Yeah, that's how it works.
No, that's some other podcast you've been listening to.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely not this podcast. We put a lot of work into it and a lot of heart into it. And I really, you know, it's definitely been a long ride, and it's been a lot of fun. But last year, I think, was really, really hard in a lot of different ways. And, you know, and losing, don't get me wrong, losing Justin was a big hit too. I don't mean to discredit his contribution to the show, but Brian is a very, very close friend of mine as well. So, you know, that was a big personal hit. You know, Justin and I are friends, but Brian and I are like, we're like brothers, pseudo brothers. So that was, yeah, that was a big hit for me. So, you know, personally, it was a big loss. And then John came along and just fit the mold perfectly. And it was like, it was perfect timing. It was absolutely perfect timing. I don't think it could have been any better timing. He was right off the bat. I feel like whenever we talk about longevity or 6 years and all that stuff, I do feel like, John, you do kind of get short-sighted because you've only been here a year. You know, you're still the new guy, I guess, on the team. But he's really put a lot of stuff into the podcast already. And I think it's important that people know that. I mean, we redesigned the logo. That's John. He did redesign the banner on the podcast group. Just look at that. I mean, that's John. A lot of the artwork stuff is John. I mean, he's done a lot of stuff to try new things. He does push buttons too much. Stop that, goddammit. But he's really tried hard to make the show as good as he can. He does a lot of research and he puts a lot of work in. So it's been good. And we started Patreon because, you know, for years, I mean, Scott, you know, for years it was just out of our own pocket, because I'm anal about, I don't want to be paid for by people that can determine your content. And anytime we advertisers pursued us, it was always, they wanted to change something about the show. They always wanted to change something about the show. And that makes me angry, because that's not what I want to do. I want it to be very much a podcast that isn't a corporate entity. It's more for people that just love movies and TV and just want candid conversations about that. And also people that love movies. Not, I don't want to say all critics are pretentious, because they're not, but there's a lot of pretentious critics out there. And it gets exhausting to always hear the same shit just because they can't get into a summer blockbuster. And so I didn't want that. And Patreon really helped, because, you know, financially it was getting a little difficult, or it was getting tiring paying for it every week. And they made it available for us to still continue to do the show at the level we've always thought. And then the director stuff. I really have my heart set on helping artists, and especially independent artists, because they never get a voice. Their movies never get mentioned in magazines or articles, and podcasts don't want to talk to them unless they're just desperate to have interviews on their podcast. I wanted to be able to, at least we have an outlet now. We have a decent-sized outlet. I want to be able to use that outlet to help independent artists. And we are selective, don't get me wrong. I mean, we can't interview everybody that wants to come on. But we try to really do that to help them gain a voice. And I think it's done that. I think we've done that. And who's being rude when I'm trying to give a heartfelt speech? And they checked their calculator. What just happened? I don't know what happened. But I went on a rant, and I don't remember what my point was. But I've also just
exactly
fuck
can
off.
Can I add something? Can I add something?
Yeah.
Can I add something too? I know I've done this before, and I'm not just saying this probably because my wife can probably hear me from upstairs. But, you know, shout out to our spouses that put up with the time that we put into this as well too. This is a true story, Aaron. I had lunch with Troy, friend of the show, this past weekend.
Yeah.
And I was sitting down to lunch. My wife was there, just the three of us. And my wife sat down and looked Troy straight in the eye and said, "So Troy, tell me, how much time do you spend on podcast related stuff throughout each week?" Like, was it like 100% serious conversation? She wanted to know how much time he put into it, to compare it to how much time I put into it, because it's a lot of time.
I think he might put in, well, I mean, during summer, not at all, but when we're doing Blacklist, man, he puts in a lot of hours. He really does.
Oh yeah. He broke it down and he gave a worst case scenario. I think he was intentionally trying to help me out.
I'm sure he's got a goddamn spreadsheet and a thermometer. I don't know what the hell.
Probably somewhere, but
we know where the thermometer is.
Yeah.
But I mean, even on your end, Aaron, you were on vacation and dealing with stuff into wee hours of the morning. And I know your wife wasn't happy about that. So
no, she wasn't. Buttons.
So, we haven't heard anything from Courtney as to how she's handling everything, but regardless, she
actually wants to throw me down a set of stairs and take over. So that's okay.
So just wanted to get that in there too, because my wife puts up a lot with the time I do with my podcasting endeavors. So
not necessarily when we're watching Suzuki Western Django or whatever though. But I tell you,
well,
that.
I wasn't going to mention that, but
does she still listen to the podcast?
Yes.
Oh, hey, Steph, love you. just kidding.
Yeah, my wife doesn't care about the time I put into the show. I am one of those fortunate people that married somebody who really just doesn't mind sending me into my office and leaving me the hell alone until she decides she needs my attention. And I've been really good about dropping whatever I'm doing whenever she needs my attention, so, or at least kind of good at it. I'm okay at it. But she is pretty great, and she is pretty fantastic, and I'm pretty sure she does want to have me killed just so she can take my spot in the show. And she's probably would be better at it than I am. Just saying.
She did really well. I don't know about that, John. You do very well. Go vote for John. Go ahead. And our favorite hope, whatever you do, just don't let Scott win. He won last time. Fuck Scott. Go.
Yeah, so far I got votes from my wife, Aaron, and Scott, which is like my mom voted for me three times because she felt sorry for me. And if my mom was still around, she'd probably vote for me too because she feels sorry for me.
I had to check to see if my mom voted for me, so if that makes you feel any better. I didn't know. So, Brian, okay, final. I really got to ask this question. So you've been out of it for a year, I mean, for the most part. I mean, we still went South by, and I believe we're going to try and go again next year. So answer me this question. What, outside of the camaraderie, what do you miss most about doing it? Like doing a podcast every week, what do you miss? We heard about the hardships. What do you really miss?
Maybe breaking your balls.
Okay.
Goutini. Goutini. You know, that's, yeah. I mean, the fun of it. While I do take it serious, and you know this, I don't take it serious. Mm-hmm. I just kind of miss the fun. I miss the opportunities to trip you up and just to bring the, I don't know, whatever, just to take something in a direction that you guys definitely don't see coming, but otherwise maybe still expect at the same time. So.
Okay.
I do have a good time. It does still kind of tie in with the camaraderie, but I just kind of miss BSing with you guys. That's really what it boils down to.
Well, I think we can wrap this up, Scott. I know you have to go, so you can go first if you want, because you got to literally go. So
record another podcast.
Yeah, record another podcast to make your wife even more pissed off. So say anything you want to say in remembrance as you exit our 6 years.
Well, just thanks to everybody that's been sticking with us all this time, especially those that have been here from the very beginning. It's an honor that people actually want to tune in to us each week and actually miss us. Like when we take a week off or something and, because of a holiday, people are like, oh, we really missed the podcast. That means something to us that you actually enjoy listening to us. So we really do appreciate that and appreciate the community and all the good conversations and just how respectful everybody has become of differing opinions. I really do appreciate that. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being the members of the Facebook group and hope you'll continue on.
All right. Get out of here.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye, Scott.
Bye, Scott.
All right. See you guys.
Okay. Is he gone? Because I won't miss his air conditioner. All right. So, Brian. That's also probably his wife saying, I'm sick of you podcasting, you jerk. So, Brian, tell us as we close out, anything you want to say in 6 years of memories, I guess.
yeah, it you know, just kind of echo. It has been. It's hard to believe it's been 6 years since we kicked this thing off. I'm extremely proud to be a part of it for a solid 5 years and a little bit longer. And it is. I want to thank everybody for every download, for every comment that's on good or bad on the Facebook groups, the emails that we've sent, the voicemails we got, or we don't still get those, do we?
No, I kind of stopped doing those. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So anyway, yes, that we used to get. Thank you for that. Yeah, it's just it's because it is you guys that do listen, that do download, that you guys are the reason that we do this. It started out as a really kind of a little hobby just really for us that grew into something much more, and you know, we just kind of look forward to growing it even further. So thanks a lot, and hopefully we're doing this these silly thank yous for the next, you know, 6 or more years.
I might want a vacation by then, so let's hold tight. 6 years, maybe two.
Yeah, you can have vacations, but you know, it's, you know, we're still doing this, you know, later.
Sometimes I would like to figure that out. Like, what's the longest you can take off a podcast before people are like, I'm not subscribing anymore, I'm done? Is there like a number?
And we can talk about that later.
All right, John, your final words?
You know, it's hard to believe that we've been doing this for 6 years. I mean, it only feels like 10 months.
Flies by, doesn't it?
It really does kind of fly by. I guess I have to say is really just thank you so much for accepting me on this podcast. I mean, I'm the Shemp of the group. You know, Curly left and Shemp showed up, and Shemp wasn't as loved as Curly was. And I appreciate that everyone stuck around and really enjoyed it and appreciate me for what I do. And I appreciate you all for listening still, because that's one of the things I was most scared of coming on the podcast. It was that I was going to break it, and I'm surprised I haven't yet. So thank you very much, and I hope to keep on making you guys happy.
Well, to be fair, you've literally tried to break it several times behind the scenes. So
see,
yeah,
see,
yeah. I don't like the Shemp comparison. I'll be honest. I think you're your own entity. You know, Brian had 5 years of prior buildup. You know, you've only had 10 months, so. Give it time, son. Give it time.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I like Shemp. That's the problem.
Yeah, but nobody else does. So find yourself a better, better character to reference.
I gotta get a better. I got a better role model.
Exactly. Because I'm thankful for every contribution. I think I'm really thankful to the hosts who've been here. The guests that have come on, I think, have been phenomenal. I'm grateful to the people that still listen. Sometimes I'm shocked that people still listen. I'm shocked that thousands of people listen to this podcast. I'll be perfectly honest. I am shocked every time I think of that. It boggles my mind. I'm very thankful to the Patreon supporters because you've afforded us the opportunity to keep doing this, for all the opportunities that we've had, because of the show, to bring you what I consider, really, really good content and really enjoyable interviews and really enjoyable behind the scenes stuff. I'm thankful for that. And for the artists we've been able to give a voice to, that means a lot to me. I know I talked about it ad nauseum, according to Brian. It was a little too long. But it's really a cool aspect to me that, you know, I've always loved movies, I've always loved television, and I've always loved independent artists trying to get their voices out there. And the fact that I can help even in a little bit, even if it's just a little bit, it gets a few people to see something that they wouldn't have seen otherwise, to tell a few more friends, and word spreads that way. Whatever it is, I just love that, and I hear that from feedback from you guys, and it makes me feel like it's all worth it, you know. And there's a lot of work that goes into it, and a lot of stress that goes into it sometimes, and it's that stuff makes it all worth it. I'm also really thankful for the friends I've made. I've made a lot of friends through this podcast, a lot of great people I've met through this show. For Scott, Brian, John, and Justin, without them, the ship would have sunk a long time ago. It's been 6 years, and there's been a lot of amazing memories, and I'm still happy to be a hoe. So thank you all for listening.
Well, my problem is my office is right next to the AC unit.
To hell? So. It's next, right next to hell, apparently, because it's 81 degrees in there.
See, John,
it's
going
to be a while before I can even try to go to sleep.
See, John, you already have far more loyalty than Brian has ever had. You win just in that respect.
Right?
Hey, No.
And by the way, all the people voting for you never had to edit you, bitch. That's what I'm going to say.